Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
And you can look at their website at ksbw.com. Thank you so much for giving me part of your day. And remember, we change tomorrow by changing today. And we have to, because tomorrow really matters. Look at your labels. And stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes.
You know, the stock market is not a civilized place to be anymore. It really isn't.
Marilyn Cohen at Envision Capital Management. Easy to take her point. With such huge swings on Wall Street, the Dow today was up 401 points, NASDAQ up 89.
If you feel safer sitting in CDs and bank deposits than riding, you know, down 600 one day and up 400 the next, stay on the sidelines and wait until there is a trend.
For her money, she says, the trend of the moment overall is down. Oil prices were down today, more than $4 to dip below $70 a barrel for the first time since August of last year. Here's why, says Tom Closa at the Oil Price Information Center.
Supply worries, which were paramount pretty much from 2002 till about July of 2008, have been replaced by worries about demand, and that's a real shift.
Social Security goes up $63 a month for the typical retiree. Won't exactly fill the gap left by evaporating 401ks, though it wouldn't be expected to do that. Ruth Weston lives in Sunrise, Florida.
It'll help a little, but, you know, our food costs at the market are really, really very, very high.
She's 79 and says they've cut back on those early bird special breakfasts and a lot of other things, too. The Action Center to End World Hunger is new, opened today across the street from the Irish Hunger Memorial in New York City, a project of Mercy Corps, which says the goal is not so much to educate people about the level of the problem of hunger, but to galvanize people to action and try to feed the planet's hungry masses. 19 days ago to go in the race for the White House.
In the closing weeks, John McCain thinks he can make this campaign all about me. But the truth is, this campaign's about you. It's about your jobs. It's about your health care, your retirement, your children's future. That's what this election's about.
Barack Obama in New Hampshire today. John McCain in Pennsylvania says Obama would raise taxes on small businesses.
Small businesses provide 16 million jobs in America, and Americans know that raising taxes on small business will kill those jobs.
Alaska Senator Ted Stevens was on the witness stand hoping to deflate the charges against him today.
Senator Stevens took the stand and denied he ever tried to hide gifts from an Alaskan oil company and thought the gift disclosure forms he signed were accurate. Prosecutors say he had to know that $250,000 of work done on one of his Alaska homes and gifts, including a car and furnishings, were not paid for. The former head of the company and former close friend of Stevens has admitted bribing other Alaskan politicians.
CBS's Bob Fuss in Washington. At Zurich Airport, customs poking through some bags found a book full of Picasso sketches, originals, worth more than $1 million. They're still trying to figure out if the man who had them owned them or not. On Wall Street, the Dow up 401 points today. The NASDAQ gained 89. This is CBS News.
Guys, it's time to put your wardrobe to work. Come to the men's store inside JCPenney and get great deals on all the Stafford clothing you need for the office. This week, you'll find an unbeatable selection of Stafford suit separates, sport coats, and dress trousers. And the best part, they're all 50% off. Stafford quality makes that a great value. Work smart, dress smarter with Stafford. The men's store makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
Only one jewelry store has five times the selection of ordinary stores and offers so many diamonds to choose from.
That's Jared!
Like the Leo Artisan, designed and cut to reveal a diamond's true brilliance, the Leo Artisan is the latest innovation in the art of crafting diamonds from Leo Schachter. The visibly brighter Leo Artisan must be seen, and you can see it at Jared today.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
when flying becomes like riding on a subway or a city bus, maybe soon.
To be profitable, airlines need to eke out additional revenues from anywhere they can get it.
So on your next flight, you may be surrounded by ads on your tray table, your TV screen, even the seat back in front of you.
They're already advertising to you on the little folder that they put your ticket in.
Some airlines are even considering selling ad space on the outside of planes, sort of flying billboards. Harlan Platt teaches finance at Northeastern University.
They would literally have to repaint the plane. That doesn't mean to say that some big advertiser won't see that as a great opportunity.
Cammy McCormick, CBS News, New York.
For a country that makes more babies than any other, it may surprise some to hear that a new study says Chinese young people are very conflicted about sex. They like the idea, but don't approve of one-night stands. China has enforced rules limiting family size since the 70s. Roughly one out of five people on the planet are Chinese. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
CBS Tonight is all new, starting with Survivor Gabon.
Here we go.
Then, in the wake of their greatest loss, CSI will take on one of their strangest cases.
It's all altered states, and we float between them.
This was rage, pure rage.
Don't miss a minute of the season that changes everything.
Why don't you stay?
I can't stay here.
Plus, an 11th-hour mystery has a small town gripped in fear.
Someone around here is killing off the week.
The new series, 11th Hour, CBS Tonight.
How to properly insulate your wallet. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot and purchase insulation. Step 2. Seal your home and install insulation. It can help save up to 20% on your heating and cooling costs. Step 3. Use the money you save to insulate your wallet.
At the Home Depot, we've lowered the price on over 1,000 products throughout the store to help you get ready for winter, including energy-efficient items like insulation. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This is how we do it.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Once again today, I'm originating from Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, where the Middle Eastern food is fabulous. You can always wash it down with an ice-cold Werner's ginger ale. Those are some of my favorite things here in Detroit. And I'm happy to be here at the studios of AM 1310, Detroit's Progressive Talk, WDTW. I want to thank them for their hospitality here. I'm here visiting family and, as you may know, going to Cincinnati this weekend to spend time with my mother on the occasion of her 85th birthday. And that's going to be a great time. And I'll be back in the Bay Area on Monday in our regular scheduled program. Tomorrow, Stephanie Hendricks will be sitting in for me here. I hope you will welcome her and call her up and chat with her. Our program today includes Faz Shakir, who will join us in a moment from the Center for American Progress, his colleague at that think tank in Washington. Christian Weller, an economist, will join us later in the hour. We'll talk about the ups and downs of the market and the various bailout proposals that continue to pop up. We'll also talk with Scott Dick next hour. He's our expert on military and veterans issues. He'll be with us as usual. We'll talk about the situation in Iraq, where there is a more progress, they say, on a status of forces agreement, and also the situation in Afghanistan. And in the Free Speech Zone in our third and final hour, where you can call in and let me know what's on your mind. Give me your review of Wednesday night's debate, and we'll talk politics or anything else that's on your mind. You can join me anytime during the program at 888-5-PETER-B. It's a toll-free call, 888-573-8372. And it's always fun to be on the road. You never know exactly what's going to happen. Everything's been very smooth here technically until 3 minutes before showtime when my portable laptop froze. And then we tried to wake up a computer here, and we're just getting things up to speed. But that's behind the scenes, and you don't really care about that, do you? Let's talk to Faz Shakir. He is the research director at the Center for American Progress. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, and he and his team did live blogging of Wednesday night's debate at their update site and blog, thinkprogress.org. Hello, Faz.
Hey, Peter. Happy birthday to your mother. Sounds like you got some great genes.
Well, thank you.
You're going to be living as long as John McCain, hopefully.
Well, the other thing I will credit my mother for is she is one of the most opinionated progressives that I've ever known. And our dinner table conversations when I was growing up are somewhat similar to the conversations we have here on this program. And so,
I'm shocked then how you've turned out, Peter. Sharing your political opinions with everyone on the air.
Well, and she's one of the last Democrats in a very red state in a very red city, Cincinnati, Ohio. So she carries that banner with great pride, and she's
sure
actually
she tells all her friends and neighbors about her son who's helping to shape a progressive world.
No, it might get her in trouble. The people who need to know know. And you know, in Cincinnati, she doesn't have a Joe the Plumber. I think her plumber is named Bob.
Well, Joe the Plumber's in Toledo.
That's right. And he was the unexpected star of Wednesday night's debate. And we're finding out a lot more about Joe the Plumber, more than he ever hoped we would know about, right?
Yeah, I mean, and over time, as we've learned more about him, it sounds like he should be for progressive policies. So the situation is that he interacted with Obama during a stop in Ohio this past week where he asked Obama about his plans to increase taxes on the rich. And Joe, the plumber, said, "I'm thinking about purchasing a business which would make my income over $250,000, would make it around $250,000, $260,000, $270,000. And he said, "You know, aren't you going to tax me more?" Well, it turns out, as we looked at the situation, Senator Obama gave a very decent, kind response that, yes, you know, if we do end up making more, we're going to tax you a little bit more so that we can ensure the safety net for all those who are working for you and still have upward social mobility in the United States. But it turns out that we've learned today that, in fact, he might be subject to an Obama tax cut, not a tax raise, because his net profits would be below $250,000.
Well, you know, one of the things that I reacted to when I heard that whole discussion is I'm a small business owner, Faz, and I operate a business, and I use what's called Schedule C in the IRS tax forms, and it gives me great latitude to write off all of my business expenses. So I'm hard-pressed to imagine a mom-and-pop plumber operation that could be generating a bottom line of more than $250,000 a year. I mean, that means a house calls, what, about $250?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean,
to get out the Roto-Rooter is a grand?
Right. ABC News looked into this and said, you know, if he's there at $270,000 with the purchase of his business, absent any expenses, he's certainly going to be below $250,000 when you calculate his net profits, in which case he's looking at a tax cut, not a tax hike. But, I mean, all of this still goes to the central argument here about making the case for progressive policy taxation and ensuring that those who have the ability to pay more do, in fact, pay more, because we're in a crisis situation, of course, where we're not only running massive deficits, but we got a lot of things to pay for. We got this bailout now, we still got to deal with the Iraq war, but then also just domestic priorities like health care, cap and trade, education, you name it. There's a whole variety of national priorities that are being neglected that we need to raise some funds for, and we need to generally get the economy back on track and make sure that people whose wages have been declining over the past 8 years once again start to feel like they, too, can have some upward social mobility here in the United States as they once did.
Now, Faz, do you think that either candidate has been realistic in responding to the economic downturn? Because every debate now, they've been asked if they are going to modify some of their plans, delay or scale back things, and neither candidate really acknowledges that reality. Now, to me, the more egregious offender here is McCain, because he wants to retain all the Bush tax cuts, add some more, and his across-the-board spending freeze, I think, is reckless. But at the same time, Obama has been kind of flying at 30,000 feet and not really giving us specifics about what he tries to spin the bailout as something that, well, you know, that's all going to come back to us eventually, so we don't have to count that. But the truth is that Bush has, whether intentionally or accidentally, caused a huge spending program here to try to rescue the economy and now banks. And that is going to raise the deficit, and it's going to put pressure to cut spending in other categories, and most specifically, expanding health care insurance in this country, I think, is going to be slowed down, but Obama hasn't been willing to say that.
Yeah, and I think that's the right move. I don't think here with a month to go that you want to be laying out exactly what you think you're going to do without knowing exactly what the situation will be. I think if they were having to confront this issue in March of this year, when you were still months away from the election and had to grapple with this over the course of your entire election, then you would start to want to lay out an honest and real budget and an honest and real taxation policy that fit accordingly. But they have done that for the past few months. The question now is, will they tailor it here in the last 2 weeks of their campaign? And I think it's probably the right move to just say, hey, we'll deal with that situation if and when we get elected. And I think I have the sense that Senator Obama is definitely going to make a lot of changes. And sadly, my big concern here is that we might be sacrificing some progressive priorities like health care, for instance, which is a major expenditure. My perspective on this is a lot like Robert Reich, former Secretary of Labor, and Paul Krugman, who have argued that when the economy is in a severe downturn as we are, the right move is to invest and instill a lot of government spending on domestic projects that are permanent. So infrastructure development would be a good move. Mm-hmm. Creating new tech jobs and investing in green economy would be a great move. But you have to do that you have to spend government money to do that. And I think, that's one of the things that might get lost here as we start to clamor for budget austerity. That would probably be the wrong move. That's like a Hoover-esque move in the midst of the Great Depression. You start to restrain all spending, you increase taxes, and suddenly there's no money, there's no liquidity, there's nothing moving in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. I think that one of the things that Obama could do to strengthen his position without and you make a good point there, Faz, that nobody knows how bad things will be in January. And so promises that you make now, modified by the current situation, could be completely stale and inoperable. At the same time, I think if Obama picked up on the theme of sacrifice that he talked about in the second debate and said, you know what I want to do is start a renewal bonds program or a green bonds program, and ask Americans to help us finance this. Instead of borrowing money from China and ratcheting up our trade deficit, let's ask Americans for a little sacrifice and a kind of war bonds approach.
I think that's a great idea. I think I see those kinds of ideas honestly percolating post-November. I mean, I think here in the last two weeks of the campaign, I doubt that either candidate wants to shake up the race too much with bold new strokes that might cost them they're risk averse at this stage.
Well, and Obama is well advised to avoid any new wrinkles or permutations because he's built a solid lead in these debates. So McCain has had moments, but has not challenged him in a significant way. The independents and the undecideds continue to fall 2-1 for Obama after each of one of these debates. So I agree that his strategy is working and that you don't fix something that ain't broke.
Yeah, but I think you're right to say here are some policy ideas that we should start to press on Senator Obama if he does become President-elect Obama.
Faz Shakir with us from the Center for American Progress. We'll take a break and return and talk about the A words that were introduced in the debate last night, specifically acorn and heirs. We'll pick up there as we continue here on the Peter B. Collins Show, today live from Detroit. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
I'm Amy Carrizosa, a peace officer in Monterey County. On behalf of 19 individual officer associations and the entire law enforcement community, we urge you to elect Todd Hornick, Monterey County Judge. Todd's opponent has never practiced law in Monterey County. While Todd has earned our support through his faithful and diligent efforts on behalf of Monterey County residents every day for the past 14 years, Todd Hornick is clearly the best qualified candidate for Monterey County judge.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Experience, leadership, vision. Let's vote McGibbon for Cabrillo trustee on November 4th.
I'm Soquel resident Kevin McGibbon, and I've lived in Mid-County for most of my life. My wife and I are working to give our three children the spirit of independence and community found in Capitola, Pleasure Point, Soquel, and Live Oak. After receiving my MBA, I entered the challenging field of international business, and for the past 7 years, I've owned and operated my own international marketing firm. I also am an adjunct professor at the MBA program at the Monterey Institute of International Studies. After being elected president of the Opal Cliff Park and Recreation District, I secured funding to clean up the park and make it safer for our kids. As a Soquel Schools trustee, I worked with administrators, staff, and teachers. We improved student nutrition programs. We established a preschool. And we were able to increase teacher and staff salaries in a fiscally responsible way. I see the significant challenges and opportunities facing our students. Let's continue to improve the future for our kids. Let's make Cabrillo College even better. Vote for me, Kevin McGibbon, for Cabrillo trustee.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Join us Saturday
from 7 to 9 p.m.
for Good Vibrations Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships,
communication,
health,
and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations.
Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Are you mad as hell?
I can't take it no more. I can't take it no more. I'm sick and tired of the dirty little boy. I can't take it no more. You know you lied about the tragedy. You know you lied about the WFD. You know you lied about the detainees. I know, but this wild. Stop talking about Santa Claus. You keep on beating that old game.
Thank you, John Fogarty. I'm Peter B. Collins. We're talking with Faz Shakir, Research Director at the Center for American Progress. You can get a copy of the Daily Progress Report delivered in your email. Just log on to progressreport.org. So, Faz, as I mentioned, the A-words come up last night in the debate. One, of course, is Bill Ayers. And McCain had been threatening to his partisan crowds that he would interject this. Bob Schieffer kind of teed him up for it by interjecting the comment about all the negative attacks going back and forth between the campaigns. And on Obama's answer, given all of the preparation he's had, and this is really the first time in a debate that he's talked about the Ayers question, I thought it was a very lawyerly response that was just adequate. And I was waiting for an exclamation point, like, Senator, don't you see how irrelevant this is and how insulting it is to the American people to devote so much attention to a guy I barely know?
You know, I agree with you, Peter. I think as first answer, he wanted to lay out the facts, which I can completely agree with. I understand that strategy. Just say, you know, you've heard a lot of stuff. Let me give you my side of the story. But then I thought the problem arose for Senator Obama was when he continued to get into the back and forth with him. I think they went back and forth a couple of times on the heirs issue. And I think after, you know, just one, he would have done well to say, you know, why are we even talking, as you said, talking about this when Americans are concerned about, you know, their pocketbooks or their jobs or their, you know, whatever it might be. That just forcing Senator McCain to either ditch this irrelevant issue altogether or to say, you know, you're right, let's move on to the things that matter.
Well, there was one point where Obama kind of summed up his comments and transitioned into, you know, Americans want us to talk about the real issues.
Yeah.
And McCain turned around and peppered in more about William Ayers.
Right. So, and at the end, McCain ended up doing this little rampage on Ayers. And then at the end, he said, what I really want to talk about is the economy. And Obama started to laugh at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Now, also, Acorn came up. And similarly, I don't think Obama was effective enough in pointing out that this is a Republican smokescreen. And he did acknowledge that no matter how many times people register, if they use their own name and address, they can only vote once. He again, was right on the facts. But I think he needed to push back harder and say that this is a veiled attack, a substitute for race, that is being accentuated by the Fox News Channel. Media Matters reported that from last Friday through Tuesday, Fox News mentioned Acorn over 650 times. I watched Fox News at Uncle Charlie's house during lunch today, and they had Acorn permanently up on the screen. In contrast, CNN, in the same time period, only had 65 references to Acorn. And I believe that this is a device to try to distract people from voter suppression, purging of the rolls, and other tactics the Republicans are using to try to game the election.
It absolutely is, and I don't know if you saw those comments by Senator Obama the other day. He was asked about Fox News. He said, you know, if I watched Fox News all the time, I wouldn't vote for myself because of all the smears that they do against me, which is true. You're right on the Acorn stuff. I think it would have been great for Senator Obama to use the pulpit to say, here's the theory of the case. Here's their motives. Here's why they're engaging in this. When they say voter fraud, what they're really doing is voter suppression, you know, and maybe even point to what's going on in Ohio now with 200,000 people on the roll, the voters who may not be able to cast a ballot, instead will have to cast a provisional ballot, which decreases the likelihood that it might even be counted.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, you and I have had this conversation three times now, Faz, that I understand that Obama is winning using the tactics that he's using. But we now go into the darkness where there are no more debates. It's all what you can generate on television news, what we call free media, and what you can buy. And that means that many of the McCain attacks will go unanswered, and they do have traction.
I think so, although I would caution. I don't know if the Acorn thing is really, honestly, a voting issue for people. I think that it might be an excuse for those who want to vote against Obama to say, okay, well, I'm just going to vote on Acorn. I think that I have some concerns about the Joe the Plumber issue because he brings up the issue of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And in this environment with the economy being the top issue, and Senator Obama's profiting from it, in the polls. I think the Joe the Plumber issue turns that on its head a little bit and forces Obama a bit on the defensive about, oh, well, aren't you going to just raise my taxes?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something that we're going to certainly have to confront, and we'll do our part to make sure that the progressive policy case is being made.
All right. Faz, always great to talk to you. Give my regards to all the people who did the live blogging during the debate Wednesday night. Excellent job over at thinkprogress.org.
Thank you so much, Peter.
All right. We'll talk again soon. That's Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress. After our break, his colleague, Christian E. Weller, a senior fellow and economist at the Center for American Progress, will join us. We're going to get a snapshot on the economy, the wild fluctuations in the market, and the latest bailout plans from the Bush administration. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
From Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. In business, as in life, the great equalizer is time. Some people have more money than others. Some people have more staff, more branch offices, more resources to work with. But everybody from the mightiest CEO or chairman of the board of the biggest corporation in the world to the operator of the tiniest newsstand on the corner has exactly the same amount of what nobody has enough of, time. Which is to say, 24 hours each day, 168 hours each week, 8,736 hours each year. Not a minute more, not a minute less. The difference is how to use that time, how we organize it, and what we do with it. Some valuable advice after this.
My husband had a health concern a month ago.
Mr. Thompson, everything looks good.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
It turned out to be nothing, but it got us doing more for our health.
And stretch and bend.
Like morning exercise and taking silver.
Centrum Silver Multivitamin is age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver Multivitamin.
Things have sure changed around here.
Our health protection starts with silver.
Take along with a healthy diet and exercise.
Only one jewelry store has five times the selection of ordinary stores and offers so many diamonds to choose from.
That's Jared!
Like the Leo Artisan. Designed and cut to reveal a diamond's true brilliance, the Leo Artisan is the latest innovation in the art of crafting diamonds from Leo Schachter. The visibly brighter Leo Artisan must be seen, and you can see it at Jared today.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
If you love life, guard well your time, wrote Benjamin Franklin, for time is the stuff life's made of. I promise you some valuable advice, and here it is. Don't do what I do. Don't procrastinate. Do the most important things first, today rather than tomorrow. Businessman Timothy Ferris, the author of The 4-Hour Work Week, came to realize that only 5 of his 120 customers were generating 95% of his revenue, so he reorganized his business to focus on them. Informed decision-making is important, but these days it's so easy to get so much more information that you get bogged down in it. We use getting still more information as an excuse to procrastinate, says David Allen, author of Getting Things Done. He says we do not do our best work under pressure, and if we think we do, we're only kidding ourselves. Also, get enough sleep. You don't do your best work when you're sleep-deprived either. Small businesses have an advantage over big ones because you can have fewer meetings and smaller ones. The fewer people at a meeting, the more productive it's likely to be. Think small. This valuable advice does not come from me. I'm just passing it along. Personally, I'm too busy to take such advice and too tired. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lapert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. Or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
I'm not on the left coast today. I'm in the heartland of America here in the Motor City, Detroit. I guess the nearest border is Canada. It's right up that-a-way. My lines are open if you'd like to join me. 888-5-PETER-B.
Attention,
Well, our economy is in a danger zone. There's no doubt about it. We're standing by to connect with Christian E. Weller. He is an economist and a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. And Nick is working feverishly to get a hold of him. And he has just published an interesting snapshot on the economy that you can read for yourself at AmericanProgress.org. That's the main website of the Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org. And right there on the homepage is the link to Economic Snapshot for October 2008. Now, I'm going to run down some of his observations here, but since we're waiting for him, I want to open up the phone lines and get some attitude checks from you. I'd like to know how dire your personal situation is, how much you may have lost in your IRA, in your 401k, or your general investment account. If your home is underwater or heading that way, I'd like to hear your situation. And I'd like you to tell me if Barack Obama's proposals have given you comfort, given you a sense of his plans to provide leadership on the economy, how they're different from McCain and Bush. And do you have confidence in his leadership? 888-5-PETER-B, you know the number, 888-573-8372 puts you through to the program. And I'd be delighted to hear from you and find out what your current situation is and how you view the machinations in Washington and on Wall Street. It's amazing to me that they pushed through the bailout that was intended to buy up all the bad paper. And within a week, Henry Paulson's shifting gears to buy stock in banks, including banks that don't appear to be in trouble right now. Bank of America, Wells Fargo. Now, in each of those cases, Bank of America picked up Countrywide, which has an unknown level of exposure to subprime mortgages and the derivatives that were created from them. And Wells Fargo is the lucky winner of Wachovia Bank. They're in a struggle with Citibank over that. And so it's unknown to me whether the Fed is injecting capital into those two institutions because they know that they bought banks with the virus, or if this is the best way to get credit flowing by injecting capital into the healthiest banks. That may be a sensible approach. I'm not an economist or a banker, and so I can really only offer you my best speculation. But if we get a hold of Christian Weller, that's one of the things that I want to ask about. So if you'd like to join me, 888-5-PETER-B, that's 888-573-8372. Now, Christian Weller makes 14 points in his snapshot here in October of 2008. Number one, businesses can't finance investment. Number two, homeowners pay more for loans. And the risk premium that the market has charged for giving out mortgages has increased by 35% in 2008. So it is more difficult for people to get money. There is no question about that. And also, money is more expensive, but that's a natural response to a recession. He goes on, job losses mount. Unemployment rates reflect broad labor market recession. Wages for people who are working are flat. Fewer people have pensions and health insurance. The family debt has actually reduced a little bit. It is now at 129.3% of disposable income. The end of 2007, it was 133.5%. So people are pulling in their credit cards, not buying new cars, and not taking expensive vacations, and that's already showing up in the figures. Housing crisis deepens. That's not a surpriser. Homeowners lose wealth. Well, we all are a little poorer than we were 3-4 weeks ago. Mortgage troubles mount. Families feel the pressure. The budget deficit increases sharply and will go even higher. The government increasingly indebted to foreigners, and our trade deficit remains high. So those are the various factors that Christian Weller makes observations about in this new report. Again, you can find it on the homepage at AmericanProgress.org. Pam's on the line from Carmel Valley, listening on KRXA. Hello, Pam. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm okay today. How about you?
Good, good. Well, you know, I'm not going to talk about what you were just asking for input about the con man, but I'm right with everybody else, spending less and just right there digging in. But, you know, I just had a comment about the debate last night, and I think it was unfortunate because I think Obama could have really putting out some real ignorance on McCain's part, but maybe not a lot of people noticed it. But because I do have a particular interest in the subject, I mean, it just stuck out like a sore thumb. And that is McCain kept on referring to autism,
yeah,
and as if Sarah Palin's son has autism. And he has Down syndrome, which is completely different. And here McCain has her as a running mate. She's been with that baby. He's probably held the baby. And to call him autistic or to refer to autism was just a sign of his ignorance. And, boy, I would have loved to see Obama just say, well, you know, that's interesting, John, but actually that baby has Down syndrome. I mean,
yeah,
he lost an opportunity.
I understand that, and I thought the same thing at that time. You may also have noticed that Obama was asked a question that included the opportunity to criticize Sarah Palin.
Yes.
And in it, he only praised Joe Biden's qualifications to serve if he were elevated to the presidency, and really, you know, had to be pressed into even referring to Governor Palin. So, you know, as part of his strategy, I understand that. I may have told you before that I was a high school debater. And when you're debating in high school and college, you are required to argue both sides of the issue. And it teaches you a lot about how to duck and weave, how when you confront your opponent and when you allow something to stand and don't respond to it. And so, you know, from debate strategy analysis, I understand what Obama was doing. But the weapon that he does not seem to be able to summon during these debates is a sense of humor. And it's
right,
hard to make
right.
jokes about autism and Down syndrome. But in some of the other issues where he needed to correct McCain or respond directly to one of these attacks, I think that a joke would have worked. Here,
it sure would have.
I think that he could have brought up, without necessarily directly challenging McCain on his mistake, he could have said, well, you know, autism presents a real challenge for American families, and we don't know why its incidence is growing. And we don't know the exact cause, and there are theories about mercury, and we really need to spend more. And, you know, Down syndrome is totally different, and I think we should focus on that, too, because these early childhood development
right.
things that surface are something that affect families in a very deep and profound way. So,
and that would show that he knew that her
yes.
baby had Down syndrome, and he knew the difference.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I wonder why the media hasn't picked up on that, because it was such a blatant mistake and so stupid of McCain not to know the difference.
Yeah.
It's just kind of funny, but.
Well, the media's been busy tracking down Joe the plumber, and he
yeah.
owes back taxes, and.
yep.
So I agree with you. I think it was an egregious mistake, and I also think that Obama showed his commitment to early childhood education and to the interests of special needs children in a way that you probably observed and connected with, and clearly John McCain did not.
He did. Obama did, yeah. He had a very good answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
And he has some help in the plan. So anyway, I just want to make that comment.
Appreciate the feedback.
I'm down the mountain here. I'm in Kishawa.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, stop off at the general store and tell Michael I said hi.
I sure will.
Okay, good.
Okay, Peter. Talk to you later.
If you've
Bye-bye.
Never been to Kishawa, California, the next time you're on the Central Coast, you keep driving into Carmel Valley and you keep going. And it is a lovely little spot. I'm Peter B. Collins here. Lines open if you'd like to join us. We're unable to locate our scheduled guest for this time period, Christian Weller, an economist from the Center for American Progress. So if you want to comment on the debate, you want to comment on the economy, I'm happy to talk with you right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And here's a quick summary of some of the recent proposals from Senator Obama regarding the economy. And I'm interested in your reaction, if some of these would help you or if you think they're misguided policies or things that you don't think will work. I'm interested in your critical comments, too. So he has called for homeowner relief. He wants to put in a 90-day freeze on foreclosures. And the way it's described is for homeowners who are making good faith efforts to make mortgage payments. And I am in favor of some sort of a freeze on foreclosures, but I do think the details have to be spelled out so that it's not something that people are taking advantage of and that we are providing relief to the people who need it the most. So I'd want to see the details on that. It's fair to say, too, that this is a proposal that was originally presented by Hillary Clinton in the primary, and Obama rejected it or tossed it off at the time, but he's decided that it makes sense now, and I'll just agree with that it does make sense now. I'm not that interested in the origins of it. He wants to direct the Treasury and the Department of Housing and Urban Development to work with state housing agencies and coordinate broad mortgage restructurings. Now, I think that's very sensible. But the way John McCain described his plan, which is to buy up the mortgages, is much simpler. And I think connects with people in a very clear black and white way. And I think that while Obama has been correct in rejecting the details of the McCain buying up the mortgages plan, I think that he should have his own. Because as we've discussed on this program, it's my belief that we can address the virus that's in the mortgage securities and the products, the derivatives that come from them, by canceling the bad loans. All right, if your mortgage is one of those that's on the verge of heading into foreclosure, and we can refinance your mortgage, that takes a bad loan out of the pool and reduces the exposure of the financial institutions, wherever that loan happens to live now. And I think that's a very sensible way to try to cut through the confusion and the noise here and really deal with the underlying problem. Obama also wants to allow bankruptcy judges to modify the terms of mortgages on a primary residence. No dispute there. He wants to allow a 10% refundable tax credit on mortgage interest for taxpayers who do not itemize. That's interesting. A 10% refundable tax credit for people who use the short form. I'm not sure how many people that would apply to, but I certainly have no opposition to that. And there are a few other items here that I'll run down after the break related to the Obama economic proposals that are on the table right now. So join me by phone. Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know your reaction to Obama's economic pitch and whether you think he has the experience and the team to really rebuild our economy and get us back on track. Lines open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can email me, humblehost@peterbcollins.com.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Hello, my name is Bill Monning, and I'm the Democratic Party nominee running for California's 27th Assembly District seat. As a professor, attorney, mediator, and community activist, I have worked to introduce a new culture of mediation and conflict resolution in our courts and our schools. A vote for Bill Monning is a vote for state budget reform, a strong education system, health care reform, and an effective emergency response network. To preserve our pristine environment and build our economy, we must encourage and support green technology, green building, alternative energy, and sustainable water resource management. Despite the gravity of the many challenges we face, I remain committed to the belief that working together we can make a difference. Please vote for Bill Monning for the 27th Assembly District seat. Contact our office at 655-1792 or visit the website at billmonning.org. Thank you. Paid for by friends of Bill Monning.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. I'm in Detroit today, talking to you from the studios of AM 1310 WDTW. That's Detroit's progressive talk station. And our guest didn't make it this half hour, so you're welcome to call me with your comments on the debate, on the tone of the campaign, and on the economic proposals. I've got lines open right now, 888-573-8372, and that transposes to 888-5-PETER-B. You know how that works. And one of the things that I think is interesting that Bob Schieffer did appropriately bring into Wednesday night's debate is the use of negative advertising. Now, from my perspective, and I am admittedly biased in favor of Obama, I believe the ads of the Obama campaign that I've seen that are critical of John McCain are decaf compared to the commercials that have been used by the McCain campaign to hit Obama, which what I would call a double espresso. Yet McCain was factually accurate, if not stretching the point, in Wednesday night's debate when he said that that Obama has set a new record for spending on negative advertising. And it depends how you define that. Again, I believe that the negativity in the Obama spots is mild compared to the virulent and toxic negativity in the McCain spots. But just in advance of the debate, the New York Times published a poll on its front page in Wednesday's paper, showing, for example, this is related to John McCain, has the candidate spent more time explaining what he would do as president or attacking his rival? Now, when you ask all registered voters, 61%, almost a 2-to-1 margin, said that McCain attacks more than he explains. Republicans are about evenly split. They think that he attacks 41% of the time and explains 46%. Independents think McCain attacks 62% of the time, and Democrats 77%. And now I'll tell you the same poll regarding Obama's ads and his messages. All registered voters, 27%, think Obama's been on the attack, compared to 61% for McCain. Of Republicans, 44% say Obama's on the attack, 41% said that about McCain. Independents, 25% say Obama is on the attack. 62% say McCain is on the attack. And among Democrats, only 12% think that Obama is mostly on the attack, and 77% say that about McCain. So I think you've got the idea there. Ruth joins me now on line one. It says you're in California. Ruth, what city?
Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz, welcome.
Thanks. I just wanted to mention what you were just talking about, who's being negative and who's not being negative. In the first place, as Obama has said many times, he will never throw the first punch, but he will throw the last. And I feel that McCain is into character assassination and changing the subject away from his lack of ability to govern and make decisions. Obviously, picking Sarah Palin was a big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama, anything negative, it's when McCain attacks him, he will come back. But he's coming back mildly, because if he were going to come back strongly, every time the name William Ayers comes up, mm-hmm. somebody would be talking about G. Gordon Liddy,
yeah.
who was a real terrorist, a domestic terrorist, who actually spent time in prison.
Well, and more,
would be talking about the Alaskan secessionist movement, and the first dude who's not going to get White House clearance, I don't see how he can,
and Ruth,
his record.
Ruth,
and
my old...
Respond. I'll take my response off here.
Okay, Ruth, gotcha. I confessed this on the air a week or two ago, that I have a sordid past association with G. Gordon Liddy. Our programs appeared on the same radio station in San Francisco for a couple of years. I shared a men's room, and he urinated right next to me one time. And we had a little chit-chat during that manly endeavor. But what's important to note is that Bill Ayers was part of the Weather Underground in 1968, 40 years ago. G. Gordon Liddy, as recently as 3 years ago, was counseling his listeners on how to shoot a federal agent who shows up at your house. Make sure you aim above the bulletproof vest, counseled Mr. Liddy. And we haven't heard John McCain repudiate that. Nick in Arcata, listening on KGOE. Welcome.
Hey, Peter, how are you doing today?
I'm okay.
Good. Hey, listen, I think actually Obama, although he didn't do as great as if you just look at the debate formula, I think he did well what he was trying to do, which was to go after independents and even peel off a few Republicans. And I think that's what his major theme was through the entire evening.
Well, I think you're right about that. As I've pointed out, I on Ayers and on Acorn, I thought his answers were okay. They were adequate. What they were lacking was an exclamation point that underscored how scurrilous these attacks are, that McCain knows they are false or misleading, and continues to use them because he's desperate.
I think when he turned to McCain and said, and the fact that all you're talking about is Ayers says a lot about your campaign.
I think it wasn't
like as hard as I would like to have seen it done. Mm-hmm. But I think he did point it out, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my theory and I'm sticking with it.
You do that, Nick, and I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to the show today. Stephanie in Salinas, you're next and I've got a minute. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just after the last two elections, I'm being from California, we're somewhat liberal out here, I guess. I was just shocked that we were defeated, and I'm just a little gun-shy here for this one. What are your thoughts on the Republicans doing this one, too? I mean, I am so not over the recount and the hanging chads and the debacles of the last two elections.
Well, Stephanie, your concerns are well-placed. Even with the poll numbers that show Obama up from 18 to 14%, we must be vigilant. The Republicans are running this Acorn smokescreen to try to distract people about election fraud, trying to point to voter fraud that is virtually non-existent. And we know they're purging voters, gaming the system, and they've probably got some electronic voting machines hacked too. So we've got to turn out everybody. We've got to make sure that people check their registration before they go to the polls. And we've got to do a little hoping. Thank you, Stephanie. I'm Peter B. Collins. More coming up next hour is Scott Dick joins me right here.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support?
just for the prom to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A 400-point gain, but what a way to get there.
You know, the stock market is not a civilized place to be anymore. It really isn't.
Oil prices plunge.
The economy is slowing, and the demand for oil is slowing as well.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It didn't look good when the market opened this morning. After yesterday's huge sell-off, the Dow quickly fell another 380 points, but then started climbing. A run-up at the end of the trading day brought it to 89.79, a 401-point gain. Marilyn Cohen, president of Envision Capital Management, isn't having much fun these days.
Some have talked about being in stocks as being on a roller coaster. It's worse than that. It's like being on a jet plane that's losing altitude and look like you're going to crash land.
Fasten your seatbelt, says CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
Volatility is at a near record high for this stock market, and to see a 700-point swing for the Dow in one day has now almost become commonplace. There is just so much emotion and fear driving this market that volatility is just a part of life right now, and that's what traders are getting used to.
The market was dragged down by multi-billion dollar losses at Merrill Lynch and Citigroup, and by a report that industrial production suffered its biggest drop in 34 years. But the bad news was offset by signs the credit system is starting to loosen up, a report that consumer prices were flat in September, and by another sharp drop in the price of crude oil, down nearly $5 to less than 70 bucks a barrel. A mixed blessing, says analyst Phil Flynn.
Hey, the good news is, gasoline is, $2.70 a gallon. The bad news is I don't have a job, so I can't go anywhere anyway.
Now this.
CBS Tonight is all new, starting with Survivor Gabon.
Here we go.
Then, in the wake of their greatest loss, CSI will take on one of their strangest cases.
It's all altered states, and we flip between them.
This was rage, pure rage.
Don't miss a minute of the season that changes everything.
Why don't you stay?
I can't stay here.
Plus, an 11th-hour mystery has a small town gripped in fear.
Someone around here is killing off the weak.
The new series, 11th Hour, CBS Tonight.
How to properly insulate your wallet. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot and purchase insulation. Step 2. Seal your home and install insulation. It can help save up to 20% on your heating and cooling costs. Step 3. Use the money you save to insulate your wallet.
At the Home Depot, we've lowered the price on over 1,000 products throughout the store to help you get ready for winter, including energy-efficient items like insulation. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
Joe the Plumber had his 15 minutes of fame today.
I'm just glad I could be used to get some points across. Hopefully it makes some other Americans go out and really look into the issues and find out for themselves.
Joe Wurzelbacher of Holland, Ohio, talked to reporters who gathered outside his home after John McCain used him in last night's debate to make a point about Barack Obama's tax plan. McCain followed up at a rally today.
McCain told the Pennsylvania crowd his opponent would penalize Joe the Plumber.
Small businesses provide 16 million jobs in America, and Americans know that raising taxes on small business will kill those jobs.
Thank you, New Hampshire.
Obama went to New Hampshire, where he blocked McCain's effort to distance himself from President Bush.
In three debates, John McCain still hasn't explained a single thing he would do differently from George Bush.
Obama may be ahead, but McCain says he can still catch up. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
McCain, who incurred David Letterman's wrath by abruptly canceling an appearance on The Late Show, will be on tonight.
What now? What exactly happened?
I screwed up.
The taping courtesy of Worldwide Pants. For people getting Social Security benefits, there is a positive side to inflation, the annual cost of living adjustment. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Reflecting the big jump in prices, Americans on Social Security will get a 5.8% increase in January, more than double this year's cost of living hike. For the average recipient, says David Certner of AARP, it comes to $63 a month.
For middle-income retirees who've seen dramatic losses in some of their retirement savings account, this will be a much-needed bump in income.
Florida retiree Ruth Weston.
It'll help a little, but, you know, our food costs at the market are really, really very, very high.
It's the biggest cost of living increase in Social Security in more than 25 years. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Washington.
The sixth fatal crash involving a medevac helicopter this year. Late last night, a chopper carrying a one-year-old girl to a Chicago hospital went down and burned in Aurora, Illinois, after clipping a radio tower support wire. The child and three crew members were killed. Four students shot near a high school in northwest Detroit. Authorities say one of them is critically wounded. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Guys, it's time to put your wardrobe to work. Come to the men's store inside JCPenney and get great deals on all the Stafford clothing you need for the office. This week, you'll find an unbeatable selection of Stafford suit zippers, sport coats, and dress trousers. And the best part, they're all 50% off. Stafford quality makes that a great value. Work smart, dress smarter with Stafford. The men's store makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney.
Only one jewelry store has five times the selection of ordinary stores and offers so many diamonds to choose from.
That's Jared!
Like the Leo Artisan. Designed and cut to reveal a diamond's true brilliance, the Leo Artisan is the latest innovation in the art of crafting diamonds from Leo Schachter. The visibly brighter Leo Artisan must be seen, and you can see it at Jared today.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Your humble host is in Detroit on a little family visit. And our program continues on the left coast as usual. A shout out to our weekend listeners in Seattle, in Portland, and in the fabulous town of Missoula, Montana. Thanks for joining us here. Every week about this time, we take an hour to talk with Scott Dick. He served in the U.S. Marine Corps and then jumped over to the Army, where he retired at the rank of major. He's a Renaissance man who now hosts the evening talk show on our flagship radio station, KRXA 540 in Monterey, and he joins us as usual today. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's interesting, here in Michigan, I have seen more McCain Palin signs, yard signs, than in any place in California. And the other thing that's really interesting, on the TV commercials and on the yard signs and billboards for congressional candidates,
mm-hmm.
the Republicans never mention their party. They are just candidates. They're independents. They're up for re-election. But they don't mention that they voted with Bush 95% of the time.
Right, and when they show up to vote.
Right, yeah. So it is kind of interesting, and, well,
sorry to interrupt, but you know why you don't see the Obama-Biden sign? Because the Republicans have been stealing them in districts all over America.
We got a report from Eureka just the other day that some people woke up one morning and the town had been cleansed of Democratic signs.
Because, see, you know that that'll work. That'll turn the election in McCain's favor by when people wake up and they go, oh, I guess I'm not a Biden-Obama supporter anymore. I guess I have to vote for McCain. Well, that may work with the Republicans, I guess. Is that the
yeah.
way you see it? Works on me, works on, we'll work on the Democrats.
Now, Katrina, our fabulous producer, tipped me off to a San Francisco Chronicle story today, and I'm now looking at a website that has a picture of a spoof food stamp with Obama's picture on it called Obama Bucks. And this is on a website of a Republican women's organization in California. And this is based on one of the comments that Obama made during the campaign that, you know, he's got a funny name and he doesn't look like the people who are on our currency. And so this is supposed to be a joke, I guess, in the Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck archives or repertoire. And so their joke is that, well, he won't be on a piece of American currency. They'll put him on food stamps. And this Obama buck is a phony $10 food stamp that includes a slice of watermelon, a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken, and a picture of some ribs.
Isn't that special? And that's the second racist piece of trash that the Republicans in California have put under somebody's letterhead, put it in a newsletter. And this, that went out as a newsletter originally, Peter, not just on their website.
Yeah.
That was mailed out to the local Women's Federated Republican group, something like that, down in I think, Inland County or Imperial County, one of those Republican strongholds. And the woman said, I just saw this food. I didn't see any connection between watermelon and Kentucky Fried Chicken and food stamps and the donkey ears on the picture of this correct caricature of Barack Obama. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, it is amazing. The desperation that we're seeing, the slime buckets that are being dumped into television, radio, the internet, and it really, I don't know. It seems bizarre to me.
Why would it seem bizarre to you? What progressive rock did you just crawl out from underneath? I mean, this stuff is here. It's wide. It's deep. It lives. It lives in institutions still. It lives in people's hearts and their brains. And you can tell them, and they won't listen. They just know that he's different. As a guy in West Virginia was proud to say, I want a real American as president. And I was like,
Well, you're right, Scott, and I'm going to retract my comment because this is the sum total of all of the smears, attacks, and negative stuff that's been pushed out there on right-wing talk radio, on websites from Newsmax to, many others. And it is. It does add up, and it produces the kind of mob scenes at rallies. And John McCain in the Wednesday night debate said he's proud of every single person who has come to his rallies, including those who have called for Obama to be killed.
Well, Peter, his problem is he needs every voter, everyone. He can't afford to piss off even one fruitcake nut job out there. And so you saw that. I mean, McCain does know how to do one thing. He knows how to pander. He said, I know how to win wars, I know how to fix the economy, I know how to fix health care, and now he hasn't said it, but we've seen it in action. He does know how to pander, and he's the best panderer I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And if he's got a secret for getting Osama bin Laden or winning wars, I sure wish he would share it with us.
Oh, come on.
Especially, I know how to win wars, and he said it again recently. I know how to get Osama bin Laden. He said it again recently, and I think, wow. And, of course, last night on his send-off, he said, I've served my country my entire life. Well, that's not exactly true, John, because I don't know what you did from birth to age 17 when you went to the Navy Academy, but that's part of your life. That's 17 years. That's, for some people, that's a whole career. Mm-hmm. I have said, Peter, I was a soldier my entire adult life, because it would be a lie for me to say I've been a soldier my entire life, because
yes,
I wasn't a soldier until I was 17.
Yeah.
So Skeptic. Technical stuff, I think, that we need to remember.
Scott Dix with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show this entire hour. You're welcome to join the conversation on military, veterans, political affairs. It's wide open. 888-5-PETER-B is our number, 888-573-8372. And, Scott, I mentioned Glenn Beck a couple of minutes ago. It's been announced today that he's going home.
Thank God.
He's going home to the Fox News channel.
He needs to get off CNN because it gives him legitimacy because he's on CNN, and it degrades CNN because he's on CNN. I've listened to him way too much. I think I have brain damage from it.
Yeah.
And this guy, he hosts the likes of Jonah Goldberg, and we can just start with a book that piece of trash, liberal fascism, and the absolute lack of any kind of intellectual acuity. And Beck is just one of those guys. That he just puts the manure in the spreader, then he drives the tractor and spreads it all over the place.
Yeah, yeah, it is amazing. So I just got an email, and Scott, this is going to come as a surprise to you, but I know you can handle it. This is from one of our weekend listeners in Missoula, Natalie in Montana. And she forwarded me what she says, according to a website called soldiersperspective.us, is the revised oath for service members to take. And let me read this to you and see if it's the same one that you took when you enlisted or when you were promoted.
Okay, I'm sitting down now.
I, soldier boy, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God.
That's word for word. I've taken that's word for word. That's supposed to be new?
Does it include I will obey the orders of the President of the United States? Because I thought the original line, here's one that she included in the email that apparently is the standard one for officers. And in the line about President of the United States, it reads, I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the president, he caught me because it's the orders of those appointed above me that's the oath you take.
Right, but you didn't take an oath to obey the orders of the president, did you?
No. I wish I could just wind back the clock for 62 seconds.
Well, I told you weren't prepared for this, so okay, I sprung it on you.
No, it's important to defend the Constitution of the United States. That's no president has is this supposed to be real, Peter?
I think so. I'm hedging because let me click to this link, Soldier's Perspective, and see what that is. It says the page reads, Things to Learn Before Shipping to Basic, A Soldier's Perspective. And the most recent entry, though, is January 30th of 2007. And that's where these two different oaths are.
I see. I don't think that's I don't think that's real, actually. I think it's a snark.
Mm-hmm.
Because
okay.
If it was real, I would have heard something about it. That going from the Constitution to the president would be impossible without discussion,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Without an argument, without a fight, without a bloody, ugly political fight.
All right. Well, I'm glad you set the record straight here, because when I saw it, I found it alarming. When we connect it to the deployment of the 1st Brigade that the Army Times reported now almost a month ago for service in the United States. And we talked earlier this week with Naomi Klein, and if you missed that, grab the podcast, the link's at peterbcollins.com. But she interviewed a general who told her that if the president gave orders, for example, for the 1st Brigade to quell a disturbance, say, of rioting bankers on Wall Street, that they would have to take those orders and execute them. They could argue about them later, but the argument is that the review or the repeal and then reenactment of Posse Comitatus, the ancient law that prevented the military from being deployed in the United States, that created a new gray area, and that the president could issue orders to troops to fire on American citizens, and that theoretically they would be bound to do so.
Well, Peter, there's a couple things. First of all, Posse Comitatus came out as a result in Reconstruction because the administration following Lincoln's assassination had used soldiers to enforce Reconstruction law. And so that was a product of Southerners to get the Posse Comitatus Act passed to eliminate the use of American troops to enforce the law. So it's not really that ancient. It was a political gambit, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Next, I heard part of that interview, and I disagree with the word deployment, because soldiers, we have several divisions that are permanently stationed in the United States. I was in the 1st Infantry Division, the 4th Infantry Division, with its headquarters at Fort Carson. Now it's split up between Fort Carson and I believe Fort Steele or Fort the other one that's in down in Manhattan, Kansas. I forget. I never wanted to be there. That's why I never registered my little pea brain. And That's when they come back from Iraq. That's where their families are. That's where their gym is. That's where their dress clothes are. Their home.
Mm-hmm.
And to simply say that there is one brigade, which amounts to about 5,500, including all of the cooks, all of the mechanics, all of the medics, all of the personnel people. You know, when you get down to the people they could possibly use for, say, riot control,
mm-hmm.
we're talking much less than 5,500.
All right, we'll pick up after the break. Scott Dick with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to join us, lines open at 888-5. Peter B., 888-573-8372, and you can email me, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Hello, Marina voters. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I'm asking for your vote to be your next mayor of Marina. I was on city council from 2000 to 2004, and when I ran for mayor in 2004, I barely lost by 69 votes. With your support, we can win this time and finally have a mayor that lives and breathes working class values. My opponent goes on cruises with developers and big business interests who have financial involvement with large four-door developments, and this is too cozy to ensure citizens like you that your priorities come first during city negotiations with big business. Good-paying jobs, affordable housing, and downtown revitalization will help working-class families and seniors on fixed incomes. This is why labor unions are endorsing me and why Jane Parker, supervisor-elect for the 4th District, supports me and Marina's campaign for change. I ask for your vote by mail or on November 4th. Let's do this together. Thank you. I'm Bruce Delgado, and I approve this message.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now, I'm taking a look at the southbound 101 just north off of Ralph Lane. There is a semi down on lane 2. A CHP cruiser is on the way. We have a traffic collision in Santa Cruz on the Highway 9 at Big Basin. There are no injuries and CHP is en route. Now for weather. Your temperatures for this gorgeous afternoon are King City, 88 degrees and sunny. Monterey, 78 degrees and pleasantly warm. Santa Cruz is 90 degrees and toasty. Hollister is 88 degrees and lovely. And Gilroy is 90 degrees and beautiful. And that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great afternoon and stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
We continue on the Peter B. Show. Oh, no, all my lines are open right now. And Scott Dick is with me this hour as we talk military and veterans issues. 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to connect up. 888-573-8372. Scott, I had to cut in for the break, but you were talking about your questions about this 1st Brigade and whether the Army Times correctly reported that this is a deployment for the purposes of potential patrols domestically.
Right, and I've just been searching the Army Times webpage to try to figure out, to find the article. And deploy is they came back from Iraq, and they are refitting and resting. And I thought she was a little bit alarmist when she said, I wish they'd just come back and lay down their arms. Well, of course they laid down their arms. They're all in the armory. I mean, she painted this picture as if these troops were, you know, driving around town in armored vehicles with guns bristling and trying to, you know, cow people, and that's not it at all. And to say that as a unit deployed, there's a massive redeployment that's been going on for 4.5 years of troops from bases that are closing in Germany, for example, but it's more like a refielding than it is a redeployment. So giving them the mission, the response mission, and I try to make this analogy that, for example, when I was at Fort Carson, you know, as a company commander, every company had Red Month. And Red Month was just this horrible time because you couldn't do any training, you couldn't do anything, because all the taskings for the division came out of that battalion and out of that company. So if they needed two guys to go, you know, go to the hospital and stand in and look pretty, you sent them. Or two guys need to go to do this and three guys need to go to that. And they did all the base cleanup and all that crap. It was just ash and trash. It was horrible. So that they rotate those through, so you only got it like once every 4 or 5 months. And I'm positive, I shouldn't say that, because who knows with this administration. I would assume that this is the kind of rotating assignment that will change to the next brigade and the next brigade. And when I was at Carson, we sent a battalion, an entire infantry battalion, to fight the big Yosemite fire. So we have the military has been doing this for a long time. So it's,
well, I'm comforted by that, Scott, because, you know, I, number one, am not invested in being an alarmist.
Right.
And I don't want to believe that these changes, the attempt to change posse comitatus, the presidential directive, National Security Directive 51, I don't want to believe that they are making plans to police the streets with U.S. troops and to lock down members of the American public in a martial law context.
And Peter,
if you know, these laws have been changed, and if it is a possibility, then I see it as my job to share the information and let people determine for themselves whether they want to be alarmed or not.
Well, absolutely, and I think that's, I mean, I'm talking about it too, but in kind of a little different context, that what the way the process went then was that we were warned when Red Week or Red Month was coming up, and it was something that you planned for. So you know, you knew if you knew there's a fire, if somehow there's a convergence of a big fire and you were getting closer and closer, that if they were going to call anybody, it was going to come out of your organization, and so you could start planning for it. So if suddenly a brigade is tasked to provide 50 Hummers to go to another Hurricane Katrina-like thing, that's tough given all the, you know, the maintenance and all the deadline vehicles and all the other things. Well, so if they've been tasked to provide this kind of support in advance, they've been told with an order that they have to be ready. It's sort of a be prepared and or standby to stand, a warning order, I guess. But to call it a redeployment to the United States in order to do this mission, it's one more mission that many, many brigades have already on top of the mission that they have. They still have to conduct training for their conventional weapons. They still have to do maintenance training. They still have to qualify with their personal weapons. If they have specific military occupational specialties like medics, they have to recertify. And, you know, the brigade surgeon, he's got to recertify. And the lawyers are going to classes to keep up. All that stuff is ongoing at the same time. Now they get a whole new...
All right, more with Scott Dick in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll continue.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Well, I guess we know who won that debate.
My name is Joe Wurzelbach.
Good to see you, Joe.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. No, John McCain didn't get the name quite right.
My name is Joe Wurzelberger.
But by the end of the evening, he was simply calling him Joe the Plumber. For a moment, I thought he was going to appoint him Secretary of Labor.
And these small business people like Joe the Plumber are going to create jobs unless you take that money from him and spread the wealth around.
And it's true. Barack Obama would spread the wealth around, and he'd do it at the expense of Joe the Plumber. If Joe the Plumber makes more than $250,000. So Katie Couric asked Joe.
Would you be in that category?
Not right now, presently.
So Joe would actually get a tax cut. You see, Joe didn't mention his income when he originally encountered Obama back in Ohio. He said he was worried about higher taxes on the small business he wanted to buy. Well, wouldn't a tax cut actually help him save up the money for that business faster? But Dave, you say, suppose he buys the business and gets rich. Good point. And that actually came up during the chat with Obama.
For small business people, I'm going to eliminate the capital gains tax. I'd have to look at your particular business, but you might end up paying lower taxes under my plan and my approach than under John McCain's plan.
So there it is. The clear winner in the debate, Joe the Plumber. Whoever's president, he's getting rich. And the loser? Well, a bad day for Joe Sixpack, I'm afraid. Not one camera truck at the Sixpack house last night, because America finally has its priorities straight. That the most important person in any society is not the beer drinker, but the guy who makes sure his toilet's flush. Now this.
Poor workplace productivity can adversely affect your bottom line. Studies show that 40% of office internet use is not work-related. So chances are, you're losing money. Designed for organizations of all sizes, the Barracuda Web Builder enforces internet usage policies by blocking inappropriate websites and applications. It also keeps harmful malware from damaging your network. What goes on in your business is your business. So get to work. Try a Barracuda Web Builder free for 30 days by contacting Barracuda Networks at 888-ANTI-SPAM or visit Barracuda.com. Be sure to ask about our competitive upgrade program.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm live from Detroit today, in the fabulous studios of AM 1310 WDTW. My thanks to Rona Danziger and Jeff, who's here monitoring my behavior right now. He's supposed to call the authorities if I get really out of line. We're visiting with Scott Dick, our weekly segment on military and veterans issues. And you're welcome to join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And I wanted to pause for a moment to thank two members of our listening audience who've been very supportive recently, Fred Hosea of Oakland and David Goodson of Eureka. We are working hard to keep the Peter B. Collins Show on the air after the election, and the economy and other factors are not cooperating. But I really am grateful to the listeners who have offered their support over the last couple of weeks. You can help, too. The link is on my website at peterbcollins.com. The tab right at the top says you can help. And if you can, I am much obliged. And if you'd like to write to me, you don't have Internet access, my P.O. Box is Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, zip code 94942. Scott, I wanted to just pause also for a moment here to acknowledge those who have lost their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. For a time, the death toll was something reported on almost a daily basis, and we've become accustomed to the sacrifice that these people are making. And I just want to note that the current number in Iraq is 4,177, and 606 Americans have died in Afghanistan in the last 6.5 years. So that...
Peter, I just gently want to say something. I don't use that term. I don't think they lost their anything. I think they were killed or they perished or they died. And that euphemism, they lost their lives, diminishes what actually happened, as if they had a choice and they just set their life down somewhere and then got up and left it.
Yeah. So well, that's a good point. And, Scott, anytime I find that you're very astute on matters of language and terminology. And, for example, you properly corrected me, sometime a month or two ago, about pro-life versus pro-birth. And you also have helped my vocabulary by pointing out that those who are trapped at Guantanamo Bay are not detainees. They are prisoners.
I think those are distinctions with a difference, and that's the same thing with this. I despise that term. I hear people on the news say it. It just diminishes the person when they say they lost their life. It's like, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I accept that, and I think it's very much on target. And speaking of Guantanamo Bay, the battle continues over the 17 Chinese Muslim Uyghurs, as they are known. A judge in Washington ordered them released about a week and a half ago. The Bush administration appealed it, and now they are desperately and feverishly trying to persuade a third-party nation to take custody of them, because the threat is that Judge Ricardo Urbina will release them here in the United States, and the Bush administration is trying very hard to avoid that. And I think it's tragic, in fact, because, Scott, we have known the administration itself acknowledged 4 years ago in the fall of 2004 that these 17 men are not enemy combatants. They were not a threat to the United States in any way. They are not terrorists. They are simply exiles from their own country who were picked up and sold into bounty in either Pakistan or Afghanistan, and they have been caught up in this system ever since. And I just think for the Bush administration this late in their lame duck administration to be continuing to deny freedom to these individuals is just really sad and downright immoral.
Peter, it lays to waste the Republican and right-wing nut claim that liberals are moral relativists and that they believe that there are some moral absolutes. Well, I would like to know which ones in the Republican Party, what are those that are moral absolutes? It seems to me this is a one giant game of moral relativism, that they can't afford to release these Chinese in the United States because they'll cause a security threat. But if they send them back to China, then they possibly will be persecuted, tortured, or killed. So the U.S. government and the Republicans that are running it right now are at a hypocrisy level I don't think has so far ever been played out. And did you know that there's a fourth prosecutor that has resigned and left Guantanamo in protest?
I didn't know that.
He resigned as a lieutenant colonel. He was gung-ho. He came back on active duty as reservist, the JAG, to specifically do this, believed it. 18 months later, he resigned when he found out that the prosecution had been hiding exculpatory evidence from the defense. And now he may be called as a defense witness in a case in Guantanamo. And, of course, his boss said he's just disgruntled because we wouldn't take, you know, his advice and blah, blah, blah. And now he's just, and get this, Peter, I'm not kidding. He said he's really leaving to go spend more time with his family.
Oh, God.
It's the fourth gung-ho military prosecutor that's resigned in protest. And have left active duty to go back to their civilian life because they can't stand what's going on down in Cuba. This is the 17-year-old Afghani. He was accused of throwing a grenade at Americans. Of course, it never happened. He was the evidence that he was drugged and manipulated. The prosecution had, and the defense and discovery had asked for all that, and of course they didn't turn it over. And then he found out. Because he kept telling them, no, we've given you everything. Well, then he found out that he was being lied to as well, so he resigned.
Well, I'm really proud of those military lawyers who do stand up and, in a principled way, oppose this kangaroo court system. And, you know, it's interesting. I've brought this up on many occasions, but I cannot recall one time in the presidential debates, in the primaries, and in this general cycle where a moderator has brought up the issue of Guantanamo, torture, habeas corpus, and the Geneva Conventions. It was mentioned in passing in Wednesday night's debate when Obama complimented McCain for opposing the Bush administration's torture policies because he was looking for an example of where McCain had parted as a maverick from the GOP.
I was throwing stuff at the TV, Peter, because that's not true. He opposed it in 2006, but in 2008, he rolled over like a log.
Well, I agree. You are correct, and Obama was being extremely generous there.
Very generous. And he could have said, I appreciate the fact that you opposed it in 2006, so it was even more disturbing and more confusing to me why you supported it in 2008. But he didn't go there, so, you know, it worked out for the best. Everybody, you know, so it just... It's McCain is a complicated version 2.0. Peter, the 1st Brigade Combat Team lives at Fort Sill. I guess that's Texas.
Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
And so, that's one of the bases that I didn't serve at.
Yeah, me either. So when they came back at the end of their rotation in, which just ended just about October.
Right.
They came back to Fort Sill. So you could call it a redeployment, but I don't believe any stretch of the English language you could call it a deployment to the United States to be fielded on the streets of the United States. Besides, when you put those 5,500 combat troops on the street, there are some cities that have more police officers than that. They're not going to constrain much.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to point that out. Because if they could, we wouldn't need all those brigades in Iraq, for example.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. Scott Dick with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open if you want to join us. 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. Scott, the sofa that we've been talking about for months now, and that's not a love seat or a hide-a-bed, but the status of forces agreement, has been herky-jerky, you know, in its progress. We need to negotiate some sort of an agreement to keep our forces in Iraq after the end of December. Because that's when the United Nations authorization will expire. And the Bush administration has been pushing hard since early summer to try to get an agreement. And it appears there is a new draft agreement that administration officials are claiming is making progress toward a firm deal. And in the same sentence it says, well, you'll get it here, the announcement that there is a new draft, while far from final, indicates that the Iraqis are inching closer to final approval. Well, some of the critical issues here are immunity for American forces and contractors, and we continue to push for a very broad immunity rule under an Iraq SOFA agreement. What is it like in other countries, Scott? I'm familiar with soldiers who violated the law in Okinawa, for example, and they did not have full immunity, but there was some protection from having them tried in local courts.
Soldiers have no immunity from from committing crimes of any kind in any SOFA country that I ever served in,
okay.
whether it was Bosnia or Germany or Japan, or traveled in other countries, even when they have SOFAs, because there are military stationed in, you know, we have 172 countries or something like that. In Spain, for example, that's also another SOFA country. What they have is they have protection from an accused service member from having the police come on the base and arrest them and take them to their jail. That's the protection. If they're in a car accident and they're drunk, they go directly to, and they're off base, they go directly to civilian jail. If they punch out their girlfriend in town, they go directly to civilian jail. And then they're obligated under the SOFA to allow weekly or daily visits from local military authorities. They can't be tortured, of course, et cetera, et cetera. And to have representation, and of course, then the embassy gets involved along with the military guy. The military guy, so they send a chaplain. They have to. They allow those kind of visits. The legal guys, they'll get their international guys involved to see what kind of case it is. And the military often has a right of first refusal in serious cases, where they can say, because of mitigating circumstances, let's say that there's a huge chance the soldier's not going to get a fair trial, then they can take jurisdiction away from the local authorities and prosecute the soldier themselves. So that's negotiated at the prosecutor level. And in many cases, the prosecutors look at the evidence that the local national authorities have and say, take them.
Well, what you just described is similar to an account that I heard about an incident in Okinawa, where I believe a soldier was accused of raping a Japanese woman. And ultimately, I think he was tried in the U.S. military court-martial system and not in the Japanese system.
And there's been several cases of Marines raping civilians, and because the way the Japanese law is, a lot of times they look at the way the systems work, and believe me, I'm not defending anybody who gets away with any kind of civilian crime, but in some cases, crimes that are misdemeanors in the United States are felonies in other countries, and the punishments are way, way outlandish.
Mm-hmm.
And so the SOFA protects those soldiers. But if they commit murder or they commit, you know, they kill somebody in a DUI, there's a very good chance they're going to be prosecuted in the civilian system.
Yeah. And so what do you think the odds are that Bush is going to have a SOFA deal by Christmas?
Well, the clock is ticking. And guess who's holding all of the cards in this negotiation, Peter?
I'd say it's the Iraqis.
I would say it's the Iraqis. Because they have a clause in there. Guess what? A timetable. All the troops will be out by 2011, period. And all that the Iraqis have to do now is just wait until George Bush signs that treaty. That's so actually the representative signed it, because if it goes to December 31st, it's going to be hell getting those 15 brigades out of Iraq by January 1st.
Yeah.
So the Iraqis, once again, the unintended consequence of the very small mind that sits as commander-in-chief of the United States has not grasped this fact, and that he could be in contravention of international law on the entire global scale by not signing this agreement. And if he signs the agreement, then they'll declare victory, they'll spend that money on the parades, and they'll have all the troops home by 2011.
We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. We got a caller on the line coming up next. You can join us too. Toll free 888-5 Peter B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Star time. Set the sonic transducer on program 8.
Program 8.
Secure all levels at 0.
0. My feet. I can't move my feet.
It's as if we're glued to the spot.
You are, so quake with fear, you tiny fools.
The Paper Wing Theater Company proudly presents the Rocky Horror Show, playing October 29th through November 1st in New Monterey at 320 Hoffman Avenue. Don't miss the final presentation of the rock and roll audience participation favorite, playing for 6 shows only with special Halloween and Saturday midnight shows. Come in costume and bring your friends. Call 675-0521 for tickets and info. That's 675-0521. Tickets are going fast, so don't miss this award-winning presentation of the Rocky Horror Show. Call 675-0521 now.
You better believe it, baby.
Get Rocky Horror tickets now by calling 675-0521.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I am here in Detroit today. Stephanie Hendricks will be sitting in here for me tomorrow. I hope you'll give her a warm welcome. And a big Motown shout-out to Nick Tanum at the controls, master control back in San Francisco, doing a fine job today, keeping us on the air and on track. Scott Dick is with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're joined by Cindy in Monterey, listening on KRXA. Hi, Cindy.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello,
my
lady.
My question, what I'm figuring here is, torture is such a criminal act, it's not kosher. I don't know how many police organizations literally practice it. You see it on TV. 24 was an example that comes to mind, where sort of glorified it in a cultural sense. I mean, how terrifying is it for people like Quakers or the Amish, and they're living in this peaceful community, you know, and then so even touched the Amish, you know, violence and mayhem. So a psychosis and a dysfunction, domestic or foreign, has to be looked at like from a more clinical eye, like more perceived like a criminal act of torture, and the fact that they're not transparent, but they keep throwing stones in this glass dungeon. I just don't understand the romance of the crusade or whatever, why they would like linger so much on selling us the subliminal messages and the little quirky things that could happen. So they deploy a armed militia or whatever, if it's a private army.
Well, Cindy, let me say this.
Is it a private army that is trained in torture?
What a private army? What are you referring to? The contractors? Cindy? Oh, she put her phone down. Maybe Homeland Security is at the door. I don't know. Cindy? Okay, Nick, drop Cindy. I think we lost her there, and I kind of lost her thread there. But referring at least to torture, Scott, I believe that we've been failed by the political opposition, that the Democrats have not really made a significant enough issue out of torture, detention, and habeas corpus issues. Number two, the media has failed us, and they do promote 24 and the themes of the ticking time bomb terrorist attack. And, Scott, in the books that have been written about the scene at Guantanamo Bay as the torture policies were being implemented from the top but made to look like they were bottom-up proposals, we know that Lieutenant Diane Beaver, for example, reported that the staff at Guantanamo watched 24 every week and that they were influenced by it, that they wanted to use some of the tactics that they had seen in this Fox dramatic TV show.
Yeah, let me make two points about that. Torture is creeping. For example, the simple act of restraining somebody, restraining a prisoner, is not torture. If you restrain them to the floor of an aircraft for 22 hours while they fly from Afghanistan to Guantanamo Bay and they urinate and defecate on themselves because they're not given a chance to use the toilet, that is a violation of the Geneva Convention. So just by chaining them to the floor, that's not a violation. It's what happened. Just by ordering a prisoner to stand, that's not torture. Forcing that prisoner to stand for 10, 12, 14 hours under the threat of being beaten, then that's torture. So it doesn't start out as torture. At some point, somebody with a brain, an adult, has to say, you know what, that's torture. So they're not really – they're trained to like, okay, make that prisoner stand, all right? And what if he falls down? Well, make him get up. I mean, it's that then it becomes after 12, whatever the threshold is, torture.
Right. Your examples are fine, but it doesn't apply to waterboarding.
No,
there isn't a non-torture state of waterboarding.
No,
somebody.
that's a crime. And in fact, building, as the general admitted, and Philippe Sands got out of the guy in an interview, and then I've replayed, building an interrogation center is a direct stated violation of the Geneva Convention. And so when they built that, and they were so gleeful, because, yeah, we're building a brand-new facility. Well, is that an interrogation center? Oh, yeah, that's an interrogation center, is a violation.
So the very existence of Camp X-Ray is a violation.
Exactly. So
interesting.
So it's fun to just talk about, I think, well, not fun, but my point is that we can talk about torture and the absolute, the acts that are definitely torture, and then how people get sucked into committing torture, and at some point along the process, they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So just because he's a 26-year-old airman who chained that prisoner to the floor of the aircraft and he's following orders does not absolve him from that, participating in violations of the Geneva Convention.
Understood. Let's jump to another caller, Richard in Santa Cruz, listening on KRXA. Welcome, Richard.
Hey, Peter and Scott. It's an honor. I had a couple quick questions. Scott would know something about this. I saw a special quite some time ago, 60 Minutes, on the dragon skin armor that our soldiers were not getting, but the guys at Blackwater were getting. And then I'll take my you can do this off the air, but I also the other – how you guys were talking about, there's no way you can talk to a conservative. So I'm thinking of a book, How Talking to a Conservative is a Waste of Time. Are talking to one anyway.
If you can stomach it, read Ann Coulter's last book, and it might inform you on the flip side of that.
No, that's where I'm getting it from, because that was how I talked to the liberal. But anyway,
right.
The dragon skin, I'm wondering if there's any investigations into that, or are there... Somebody made some money someplace, you can bet.
Yeah, and they're deploying a new body armor, by the way. But we're running out of time, Peter. Let me get to this. It is.
Oh, go for it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I just want to make a correction. There is in the, I'm looking at the oath of office that's put on the website from the Army.
Mm-hmm.
It does say, I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
Mm.
So that's the, our officers are trained, and so are soldiers, to refuse to obey an illegal order.
All right, 20 seconds, body armor, contractors versus soldiers.
Well, there was a military specification, and they made this whole claim that they weren't, that the other armor wasn't meeting. They already had the contract, et cetera. But now they're deploying a new armor. By the way, Peter, they just found a bunch of veterans' claims and supporting documents and shredders at a couple of VA offices. offices in the United States.
All right, Scott, thank you very much. I appreciate your contributions. We'll talk next week on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Okay, Peter. It's always a pleasure.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618, 888-629-9618.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The closing bell caught the market on an upswing. During the day, the Dow was down as much as 380 points, but CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says some good news inspired a late rally.
Signs the credit freeze is cracking and inflation is easing helped the market soar into positive territory. A key interest rate fell today, indicating banks are more willing to lend money. That and some bargain hunting pushed the Dow up just over 400 points. The NASDAQ gained 89.
It didn't hurt that oil prices dropped again, closing below $70 a barrel for the first time in more than a year. Some perspective from David Weiss, chief economist at Standard & Poor's.
I think this is really a break for consumers. Prices are still up 4.9% from where you were a year ago. Energy is still up 23% from where it is a year ago. But it sure feels good compared to what it looked like in July.
The government says consumer prices were flat in September after falling slightly in August. But the price of borrowing to buy a home has gotten higher. Mortgage rates have jumped to an average of almost 6.5%. Greg McBride of Bankrate.com blames the credit market freeze.
As the credit concerns continue to persist, that's going to lead to a much higher markup on mortgage rates. And it's that factor that's keeping mortgage rates elevated relative to where they would otherwise be.
Rates were below 6% last week. John McCain told supporters in Pennsylvania today that Joe the Plumber won last night's debate.
Joe's the man. He won, and small businesses won across America. They won because the American people are not going to let Senator Obama raise their taxes in a tough economy.
Obama in New Hampshire said he's not running against George Bush. He's running against the Bush policies McCain supports.
In three debates and over 20 months, John McCain still hasn't explained a single thing he would do differently from George Bush when it comes to the most important economic issues we face today. Not one.
Both men are on the same dais this evening at the annual Al Smith dinner in New York. The ratings are out. The third presidential debate drew 56.5 million viewers, a smaller audience than the previous two. Southwest and Continental Airlines report third quarter losses, but overall, CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports the industry is healthier than it's been in a while.
The good news for airlines is fuel prices are lower.
Every airline is predicted now by Wall Street analysts to be profitable in the current quarter and in the future.
But that's only if a global recession doesn't ground many of us. Northeastern University finance professor Harlan Platt.
If the slowdown takes place and it's severe, there will be far fewer people on airplanes.
And that has airlines very nervous that they're trading one big problem for another. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, New York.
The price of gold dropped $34 today to $801.50 an ounce. This is CBS News.
$10? Maybe two cups of gourmet coffee.
Oh, about 3 gallons of gas?
These days, $10 doesn't go very far. Except, that is, at Sam's Club. This weekend, for just $10, you can get a Sam's Club membership that's good through December 31st, 2008. Enjoy members-only pricing on the things you need every day. Milk, produce, laundry detergent, diapers, pet care, and more. 10 weeks of savings for just $10. Just when you need it most.
Heard they got great prices on gas, too.
10 weeks, $10. Starting this Friday, only at Sam's Club.
These days, investors don't need hot tips. They need solid facts. You'll find them at FINRA.org. FINRA is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the independent, not-for-profit that regulates securities firms. They also write rules for brokers and enforce them. But more than that, FINRA protects investors with unbiased information and tools for making smarter decisions about saving and investing. You'll find it all at FINRA.org. That's FINRA.org.
The Internal Revenue Service is putting in new computer systems to tax us more efficiently, but a report today says there are flaws in the systems that could compromise our sensitive personal data. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
Privacy or efficiency, that was the choice, and
the IRS is jeopardizing confidentiality,
says the Inspector General at the Treasury Department, J. Russell George, after examining systems costing almost $2 billion.
The IRS repeatedly, in the course of modernizing its systems, has given short shrift to security.
Very troublesome, says the inspector, that the Revenue Service knew about that beforehand. The IRS says now it's closing the security gaps. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
The car was moving slowly along country roads in southeastern Ontario, Canada, and the driver seemed unusually small. Police found a 9-year-old girl serving as the designated driver for her mother, who had too much to drink at a party. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
CBS Tonight is all new, starting with Survivor Gabon.
Here we go.
Then, in the wake of their greatest loss, CSI will take on one of their strangest cases.
It's all altered states and we float between them.
This was rage, pure rage.
Don't miss a minute of the season that changes everything.
Why don't you stay?
I can't stay here.
Plus, an 11th hour mystery has a small town gripped in fear.
Someone around here is killing off the weak.
The new series, 11th Hour, CBS Tonight.
How to properly insulate your wallet. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot and purchase insulation. Step 2. Seal your home and install insulation. It can help save up to 20% on your heating and cooling costs. Step 3. Use the money you save to insulate your wallet.
At the Home Depot, we've lowered the price on over 1,000 products throughout the store to help you get ready for winter, including energy-efficient items like insulation. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Peter B. wants to hear from you. It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got a couple of lines open, and what do you say? I'll pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You want to talk about Wednesday night's debate, any other political developments that concern you, arouse you, or amuse you? I'm wide open. You know the rules. Any topic, any viewpoint, and you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And it's possible we're going to hear from some of my friends and family here in the Detroit area where I'm originating today's broadcast. And I'm hoping that Uncle Charlie will call in. I had lunch with Charlie and his lovely wife earlier today. And he is pushing 90. He worked 35 years on the assembly line for Ford Motor Company here in Detroit. And he goes back to the day where they refer to it as Ford's, because it was a family operation. Charlie tells me that he gets a real kick every month when his pension check arrives. And a few times a year, the people from the retirement office over there at Ford's give him a call to make sure he's still kicking. And he is. And he, 4 years ago, was so distressed when John Kerry lost, well, or was the victim of the Ohio heist, that he said to me at Christmas that year that he wasn't sure he would be here for the 2008 election. And it's probably, you know, a factor. I can't say that he's alive today just because he wanted to be here to see a change of the guard. But I know it means a lot to him. So, Charlie, I hope you'll call in. I left a message and Hopefully when he gets back, he will check in with us. You can do so, too, at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I didn't get to this item with Scott Dick in the preceding hour, but I got an email from the Iraq Veterans Against the War, IVAW. And 14 of them showed up Wednesday night at Hofstra University on Long Island prior to the debate, and they marched in formation, hoping to present some questions for the candidates to moderator Bob Schieffer. And Schieffer didn't agree to see them. And this contingent of veterans in dress uniforms and combat uniforms attempted to enter the building where the debate was to be held. But they were turned back by police. Some IVAW members at the front of the formation were immediately arrested. Others were pushed back into the crowd by police on horseback. And several members were injured, including former Army Sergeant Nick Morgan, who suffered a broken cheekbone when he was trampled by a police horse before being arrested. So that's something that I didn't see covered in the corporate media, and now you know. John is on the line from Canada. John, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show and the Free Speech Zone today.
Hey, thank you very much, Peter B. I'm a big fan of yourself. I've never gotten an opportunity to phone in, but I've been listening to a lot of the stuff you've been doing, and you got a lot of fans up here in Canada.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to hear that. Now, what province are you in?
I'm in Manitoba, Winnipeg.
Manitoba. And what town?
Winnipeg.
In Winnipeg?
Yeah.
Well, I have never been there. There's a gap in my travel experience.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not a bad place, but it's pretty cold the winter, and we got like one radio station and one newspaper, and they're vicious, psychotic right-wing savages who want to kill all the poor Muslim people before admitting that torture is really an irrational act. It's only supported by those who don't want us to follow the crime scene leads at the real murder scenes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You got like Kofor Black, for example, one of the big guys at Blackwater, admits freely to torturing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed unmercilessly to get him to confess to something like 20 terrorist acts over the last 50 years, some ridiculous, it's something like that anyway.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
goes, there you go, there's your evidence. You don't need to support police services and getting warrants together and putting people on trial. He'll just tell you who's guilty, and if you disagree with him, you're supporting the terrorists. You know,
yeah, that's old line stuff. It's called quaint now, John. Those are quaint little civil liberties that were okay in a previous era.
Right. Well, and so we can see what they're kind of doing. They're wrestling with humanity because we know, unfortunately, there's a large, whatever the percentage is, there's a large segment of society out there that, you know, they can't argue themselves out of, or they can't get themselves out of a paper bag. They're just lost.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're confronted with these sentences that contain a few syllables, they feel threatened. And then they feel like maybe they're, I've also considered that maybe it's a sadistic kind of thing, or not a sadistic, what's the word? I don't know. It's like they somehow think they're weaker than by supporting those that, oh, I'm losing myself. I should have thought more about it. But I'm thinking it's some kind of sadistic, no, it's a, you want to be the aggressor.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be the aggressor if you're going to argue with somebody who understands the bank doesn't cover the loan, for example, in your market. The bank, when we get a loan from the bank in Canada, for example, the Charter Bank, they don't even cover a dollar of your loan, and you got to pay them back. They take the cash and put it in their own pocket. Similarly, in the United States, investment bankers, for example, they only have to cover 1/20th of the money. So people who would hear me say that go, hey, they would either go, hey, maybe they'll be familiar with me. They go, hey, yeah, I know that too. That's really they're almost stealing the money right from under ourselves
mm-hmm.
because we don't understand. And then there'll be other people that go, I can't understand any of that, and that means I'd have to study it, and I'd rather go with the McKinney Act because I don't have to think for myself at all.
Right, because they explain it all in simple terms, all in black and white.
Right, and so if they go, I disagree with you, so I'm just as valid as you are. And I think it has to come down to a position where we all understand. And there are rights that we all would agree to defending. Nobody wants to be murdered, no matter who you are, no matter where you go.
So well, John, let me ask you as a Canadian to tell me what kind of attitudes Canadians have toward the United States now that it's very clear that we are a barbaric nation that engages in torture.
Well, I'm telling you, Peter B., I'd love to get in more in depth on this, but it's really quite terrifying because, like I say, we got one radio station and one newspaper. Now, they're both, you know, in my opinion, okay, they're involved in all kinds of criminal fraud through our casinos, for example. They get millions of dollars in advertising and free helicopters and free cars as bonus perks for not discussing the issue with our community. So it sort of sets the tone of everything. So they don't want open, free communications. So in our newspaper and our radio station, Bush is great, got to bail out the banks, let's not put it too much of any thought into this and pretend we're all at the top of our game. Well, we're losing out to guys who are cheating. So they don't discuss anything. We don't get nothing. It's pitiful. You know, I'll call up and say, listen, the Royal Bank of Canada is a chartered bank, and they're also running insurance deals, and mm-hmm. they cleared $16 billion this year. They didn't have, and, you know, they don't, because they're a chartered bank in Canada, they don't, all the money comes out of the authority of the Canadian public. But they just get free cash for nothing. Now, I couldn't even say 5 seconds of that before being hung up on, but it's stuff like that. Like, we don't get, it's difficult to deal with, and it's subjects that people aren't too familiar with all over, but they still cost us so much money, and then they're all into killing people in Afghanistan, so I'll call them up and I'll say, listen, let's just support the FBI's formal conclusion that General Ahmad financed the terrorist strike of 9/11. Like, if we want to arrest anybody or we have to kill somebody, let's get this guy. Mm-hmm. No, we can't do that because he was working with the Bush administration, or he was at the White House 2 days prior to 9/11, and he went to the Taliban to tell them no evidence would be brought against the accused. Otherwise,
and just, John, just to fill in, for people who aren't sure who you're talking about, he was a general from Pakistan's CIA called the ISI.
Right.
And he reportedly ordered the transfer of $100,000 from a bank in the Emirates, I think in Dubai,
right,
to Mohammed Atta just a week or so before 9/11.
Right, and as the head of the ISI in Pakistan, it's almost, as many people would allege, almost a branch of the CIA, because the CIA have an office there too. And the guy who is his boss, essentially, from the CIA was Steve Grainer, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes with the general. Him and the general go to the Taliban together to let the Taliban know, and of course they're Muslim fundamentalists, no evidence is going to be brought against bin Laden. He's an innocent man. He saved you guys from the Russians. He's a good man. You better demand evidence, and we're not bringing you nothing. Squat. And that's how we're going to secure invasion, because the Muslim fundamentalists will go, we have to defend Allah. We want to support American freedom by demanding evidence to form your conclusion. Otherwise, you're going blindly in faith. You're not forming your own conclusions. In fact, Bush is forming your own conclusions, and Bush told you if you disagree with him, you're a terrorist. And really, it's not. That's not correct.
Well, John, it's a real pleasure to hear from you in Manitoba, and I'm glad you're listening. Can I make you vice president of marketing for the entire province?
Oh, sure you can.
All right. All you got to do is send out 10 emails a day with the link to peterbcollins.com and encourage people to listen.
All right. Will do.
All right. And, John, hold on the line, if you will. Give your mailing address to Nick. I'd like to send you a DVD of a powerful new documentary called Burning the Future. It's about coal in America.
Oh, okay.
And I'd just like to send that as a gesture of American goodwill across the border.
Fantastic.
All right, John, thanks for the call today. Hold on, and Nick will get your information. And Lynn couldn't hold on the line. She wanted to comment that Obama's being pretty gracious so that once he's in office, he can reach across the aisle, and then McCain is not telling the truth. Okay, Lynn, well, I agree with that. Sorry you couldn't hang on the line. Let's go to Tony in Santa Cruz. Hi, Tony. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. I'm the guy that you asked to tell Sam Farr that you know that it must have been rough decisions when he voted for the bailout twice, but you disagreed with him.
Yeah.
And then I told him, but I'm much more critical than Peter B. was. And I was the third questioner in line. This was at the Watsonville, the brand new city council chambers, a really nice place. And they happened to have a civics class, a high school civics class in attendance, maybe a dozen kids with their teacher. And the first three people, including me, were so critical of him that they had an earful. But the guy just before me, I want to make sure that this gets in. A guy got up that looked like a movie star, maybe 5'6", and with a 2-day growth of beard. And he really flustered Sam by saying, did you know that AIG was started by the CIA as a cover for their worldwide activities? And Sam said, no, I didn't know that. Well, they're the ones that got the $85 billion up front real quick, and it was gone the next day. I guess you know that.
Yeah, and they've handed him another $37.5 billion in the meantime.
And then they got another $350 billion from the Fed the next day after that.
No, it was 35. It was 87 and 35.
Okay. Well, that's over 100. But yeah. Okay, so this guy then said, did you know him, Mr. Farr? Are you willing to admit that the Federal Reserve is not a government agency, but that it's an arm of the Rothschilds that have been running both sides of wars for many years, and that they also run many other central banks? He didn't say a word at that one. He said, well, Mr. Farr, you don't want to admit that the Federal Reserve is not a government agency? And he just turned away and started mumbling. But I got there late. He was 10 minutes into a complete regurgitation of all of the facts that made him vote for the bailout. And he went on for another 10 minutes, completely just repeating what we had heard before the bailout, even though most of the main points by that time, 3 or 4 days later, were actually disproved.
Yeah, Tony, I got to run to a break, and I'll tell you, I like Sam Farr, but I had him on the program, I think, the day after the town hall meeting you attended, and I found him confused and really inarticulate in defining his... Yeah, we got him on the radio the following day, and I just found that he wasn't really very clear in his position, and it left me scratching my head. Thanks for your call. Appreciate the report on the town hall meeting.
I'm from Detroit. Can I tell you I'm from Detroit?
No, you didn't.
Okay, bye.
Motown Roots, that's Tony. Thank you very much. We're going to take a break and continue. You can call me now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Your call can be next.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Good
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now in Monterey, we have a traffic hazard on Nashua Road at Cooper Road. There is a 75-foot long piece of plastic material blowing all over the roadway, so watch out. In Santa Cruz, we have a traffic collision on southbound Highway 1, just south of Park Avenue. Three vehicles are involved, blocking the center divider. CHP is on the scene. We have another traffic collision with no injuries in Santa Cruz on Real Del Mar Boulevard at Cliff Drive. CHP is also there. Taking a look at our forecast for this beautiful afternoon, it's sunny with highs in the 70s to mid-80s, northeast winds around 5 miles per hour becoming west in the afternoon. Tonight is clear with lows in the mid-50s. East winds around 5 miles per hour. And that's your traffic and weather on AM 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. A Rodney King moment. Can't we all get along? Democrats, Republicans, right-wing nuts, left-wing nuts. We're in the free speech zone taking your calls. I think all the lines are open right now, so don't be shy. Call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Lines open for the remainder of this hour in the free speech zone. Talk about Wednesday night's debate. Talk about the politics of the moment, the campaign season. Anything else that's on your mind, I'm wide open. So let me know what you'd like to talk about, and we will chat. 888-573-8372. Well, Joe the Plumber was mentioned something like six times in the Wednesday night debate between Obama and McCain. Joe the Plumber's name is Wurzelbacher. John McCain, trying to score points with Joe, called him Wurzelberger. And Wurzelbacher is an unusual name. I grew up in Cincinnati, where there was a Wurzelbacher in my high school class. And I have an email from a listener that suggests what I'm about to tell you, and what I'm about to tell you I can't prove. But based on what I know, I feel it's probably accurate. The Wurzelbachers, one of them, and I think it was Rick, married into the Keating family. As in Charlie Keating, as in John McCain's buddy from Arizona, the Keating Five, the savings and loan scandal. Charlie Keating did hard time in a federal prison for the fraud and graft that he committed at Lincoln Savings and Loan. So, Joe the Plumber, whose full name is Samuel J. Wurzelbacher, may well be a relative of Charlie Keating. And if that's the case, it's even more embarrassing that he tried to use him as a Joe six-pack character. And now the media has swooped down on him. Turns out he owes some back taxes. And he's not really a well-trained plumber. He worked under licenses by other people, and he is considered an outlier by the Toledo Union, the Association of Plumbers, Steam Fitters, and Service Mechanics. So there you go. Mildred in Coos Bay, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Always great to hear from you, Mildred.
Well, it's great to visit with you, Peter B. Anyway, this is back to the debate last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a real concern about Obama. I'm voting for him, and I like him, and I like the potential, the hope that he represents. But I'm really concerned about his passiveness and his cool intellectualism. It does not seem to be effective against emotionality and the kinds of junk that goes on, you know, with the Republicans and the neoconservatives and their lies and stuff. And I'm concerned that he misses the boat on a lot of really important stuff, like Palin's son being retarded, Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And he went along with the thing that he was autistic, which is what was promoted by McCain. And it makes Obama look stupid or whatever, yet I sense that because of his training and his personality, and I don't know him, so I could be going on a limb here, but because of his training and his personality, you know, the cool intellectualism is very good for a college professor, for a lawyer.
Well, Mildred, the music's rolling here. I got to go to a break, but hold on. I want to talk about this more because, as you know, I share some of the same concern that you have. So stay there. We'll be right back at you, and you can join us, too, in the Free Speech Zone. You know the number, 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Time to paint your house and protect your investment.
Custom painting.
Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry. Robbins Jewelry in Carmel is open every day for your holiday and gift shopping. Robbins Jewelry is one of a kind, unique, and stylish. She uses sterling silver and semi-precious stones and will customize a keepsake right there on the spot. Robin is a native Carmel artist and silversmith. She's located inside the Dowd Craft Studio at Ocean and San Carlos. Robin has a big selection of organic bling. Great jewelry that's affordable. With free engraving and gift wrapping, go to Robbins Jewelry in Carmel.
We'll be right back.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speed zone. If you're on the line, stay there. And if you're not, get there. Toll-free 888-5-PETER-B. And I want to acknowledge Fred Hosea of Oakland and David Goodson of Eureka, supporters of the Peter B. Collins Show. You can help, too. Just go to my website at peterbcollins.com and click on the link that says, You Can Help. And I want to return to Mildred in Coos Bay listening on KBBR. Thanks for holding on there, Mildred. And what do you think the price will be?
Okay, I'll make this real quick. The price is if he continues in the way that he's continuing, is he will not be able to organize and confront the Democrats and get them on the ball about the agenda that has to be taken care of to, you know, put this country on the right course that the American people that are voting for him are hoping for. And he will not have the oomph to stand up to and confront the Republicans and their neoconservative buddies. And my big fear is that, you know, you hear about the Democrats now, they just bend over and let the Republicans run over them. I'm afraid his passivity and intellectualism may, you know, allow that to happen. I don't see Biden putting up with it, but I see possibly Obama, unless Obama has an ace in the hole and he's just presenting this picture and then becomes more assertive once he's in office.
Well, and Mildred, I understand what you're saying and I agree with much of it. One of the things that tempers it is that Obama's focus right now is to win the election.
Right.
He's already got you and me.
Right.
He knows that. And in some ways, like on the FISA vote and a few other things recently, he's taken us for granted. That said, he is marketing. These debates are opportunities to market his candidacy to the independents, the undecided, and perhaps some disaffected Republicans. And so everything that he's doing is focused on that right now, because he's got to win the election before he can take on any of these other issues, including running the Democratic Party and getting Democrats onto a much more progressive track than we have seen in just the last 2 years. So I do understand the strategy. And having worked on campaigns, I see him as very disciplined, very focused, and in touch with the polling, essentially. And so he understands that he is the front runner, and that in some cases, by taking on McCain, he only would hurt himself. Likewise, on the issue of Down syndrome versus autism, Obama was content to let McCain hang himself and let this discussion take place today, where a caller was the first to point this out. And I think that that kind of criticism of McCain actually carries more weight than if it had appeared on Wednesday night that Obama was correcting an old man who just misstated something.
Well, he did more than misstate, and I'm looking at this psychologically, and Obama could have said something simple, okay, which would not have hurt McCain, but would have pointed out that he was on the ball, because that's also, people want to make sure that Obama's on the ball, because Obama could have said something simple like, well, it was my understanding that her son had Down syndrome, and then moved on to something else and carried the conversation that way, which would have made it very clear to a lot of people that don't pay attention that, you know, McCain really was off on this one.
Mildred, with the benefit of hindsight, earlier today, I served up the answer that Obama should have given, similar to yours, which is that he should have said, well, you know, Senator, autism's a very serious problem, And it is confronting more and more American parents, and it's something that my administration will focus sharply on. And Down syndrome, which is completely different, is something that's also of concern to parents of special needs children. So that's the way he could have done it and made clear that McCain was mistaken.
Yeah,
without...
but that's too long of an explanation. And if you don't want to get caught up in Obama attacking the old man, you know, and who knows why he makes these slips or if it was deliberate or whatever, just making a glancing reference and moving the conversation on makes the point,
mm-hmm.
and it moves it on. So that McCain doesn't get tangled up in his web,
right.
and starts, you know, doing irrational attacking.
Mm-hmm. Mildred, very good points. Always appreciate your calls.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. More of your calls coming up in just a moment. But, Nick, if you can roll the tune there, it's time to talk to R.J. Shulman. Do we have the important theme music for R.J. today? Maybe Nick couldn't find it. I asked him to, but that's okay. RJ, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here, Peter B. How are you doing this week?
No, that's not the right one, Nick. It's Fat Boy Slim, but don't worry about it. I'm doing fine. I'm in Detroit today, RJ. And,
are you trying to find some jobs for the auto workers? Is that what you're working on today?
Well, you know, there's a bailout pending here, $25 billion, and I just thought I'd see if a little of it would trickle down to me.
Yeah, I know. We just that's what we need, more trickle down.
Well, RJ, I want to direct people to your website at the Post, Times, Sun Dispatch. This is the news source that the corporate media never quite taps into. RJ has been fired from 13 major daily newspapers and now publishes at his own site, the Post, Times, Sun Dispatch. And the web address is ptsd1.blogspot.com. That's PTSD for Post, Times, Sun Dispatch. PTSD1.blogspot.com. And RJ, your lead story right now, GOP accuses Acorn of stealing their thunder. Now, I've explained to our listeners that Media Matters did a count, and the Fox News Channel has been going wall to wall with Acorn coverage. In the period of time from Friday to Tuesday, they mentioned Acorn 650 times. Where, by comparison, CNN in the same time period only did so about 55 or 56 times. So Acorn is the demon of the moment. And why are the Republicans upset?
Well, according to the story we have here at the Post-Times-Sun-Dispatch, the Republicans are upset because, as Steve Schmidt of the McCain campaign said, Acorn's conduct is outrageous. We have worked so hard to steal this election fair and square that to have this group of pipsqueak upstarts trying to steal it back is beyond the pale.
Wow.
What they're upset about is they're the ones that, you know, should be stealing elections and causing all kinds of voter problems, and they're very upset that the Democrats are starting to do it, as they say, through Acorn.
So you have a quote here from one of the Acorn heavies. "This is much ado about nothing," said Bertha Lewis, chief organizer of Acorn. "We always flag names on our list that are suspect. For example, if the name Elvis Presley shows up, we mark it and inform the local register of the registrar of the suspicious nature of the entry. There's no problem here with voter fraud. Elvis is not going to show up to vote. Elvis has left the building." And then you got a juicy quote from Rick Davis, the lobbyist campaign manager for McCain. "Elvis not voting? My ass. That's how they plan to win Nevada, with all those Elvis impersonators just waiting to cast an illegal vote for Obama."
Yeah,
wow.
That's right. And so this story is, that's the real story behind the anger on the right about Acorn.
Yeah, and it's amazing, too, that it was Senator McCain who was the keynote speaker for an Acorn conference just 2 years ago, and now he's trying to make them out as... some kind of affiliate of Al-Qaeda. Next
That's
up.
Right. Actually, you can't blame him. He actually forgot he gave a speech in front of them.
Yeah, he may have thought it was a group of autistic or maybe Down syndrome people. Who knows?
He thought it was a group that was in favor of growing trees.
Okay. Next up, Democrats responsible for McCain rally hate speech because they're the party who selected that one.
Yeah, that's right. Again, with all this flack coming towards the McCain campaign with the hate speech and all those supporters, not all of them, but many of them shouting out death threats and worse at the rallies has caused us quite a stir. And And the Republicans are now blaming the Democrats for that.
Yeah. And that's really special because in Wednesday night's debate, and I saw him repeat it on the campaign trail on Thursday, McCain said that he's proud of every single person who has come to his political rallies. Isn't that amazing?
You know, it's amazing because they actually have a complete and accurate count because there are so few that it's easy to count them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finally, R.J. Shulman, McCain has second thoughts about picking Sarah Palin as his VP?
Yeah, actually, everybody thinks he was going to pick Lieberman or maybe Romney and got talked out of it. But he was actually going to pick Mariah Carey and got talked out of it and pick Sarah Palin. Well, the whole idea was they needed a woman, you know, to capture the Hillary vote. But they needed somebody who was young and attractive. And Mariah Carey was all of that. I think that what distracted McCain, and he admits it, is basically that he liked that Sarah Palin shot thing and was interested in drilling. But now laments because he realized that Mariah Carey has more experience with foreign policy because she's been to more countries in the world than Sarah Palin.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, she's had world tours and entertained crowds all around the world. She does have more experience than Sarah Palin. Well, RJ, thank you for your work. It's amazing. You break the stories on a daily basis, and I want people to check it out. That's the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch, PTSD, the number one, .blogspot.com. Thank you, RJ.
Talk to you next week, Peter B.
All right. I'm sure you will, and I'm looking forward to it. Looks to me like Herbie is next on the line. Oh, wait. Hold on. Dave in North Bend has been holding longer. Herbie, we'll get to you in a moment. Dave, do I have you?
Yeah, you do.
All right. Welcome, Dave. You're on the air.
Oh, great. That's an honor, Peter B. I've been listening for a while. We've been hammered with Rush Limbaugh for plumb near 20 years up here, and finally a voice of reason. I like your style, but I just feel like, you know, the desperate men do desperate things, and I feel like these guys are going to steal this thing, and they're letting it all play out for the money, but I could be wrong, but we got an awful good candidate there, and I'd sure like to see him get in and give it his go, but that's all I got to say. But
well, Dave, your concerns are well placed, and it's a number of factors. We look at 2000, we look at 2004. There are all these great documentaries out now, Uncounted, Voting Lies, and I can't remember the new one that Brad Friedman is in. And Free For All is a new one at freeforall.tv. It's a free download if you want to check that out.
Okay.
And all of these show two key things. One is that Republicans have been very carefully organized and determined to control the election process and use legal and illegal means intentionally to manipulate the results to make sure that their candidates win. And it happened in 2000, and it happened in 2004. And the other side of it is the absolute fecklessness of Democrats in confronting their own victimization here. We have John Kerry, who still cannot publicly admit that the Ohio election was stolen from him in 2004.
Yeah, I'm just, it's just very disturbing. People are all just complacent. They're counting on it, but I think that they got lucky in 2000 and then they had their hands on it long enough. You know, I mean, if you cheat these machines out of a dollar or 20 bucks, they usually got a hold of you by the time you get home, you know. And they're going to roll these things back, you know. They just, there's too much to lose for them, and I hate to say it. And I think they're rolling these people off the voter rolls, or they're they'll stop at nothing. They're, you know, they'll even exploit a poor little retarded kid, you know.
You're right. And what they're doing is, as a group, and with the help of Fox News and other media outlets, they are busy trying to distract people and divert our attention from the misdeeds that they're doing over here on the right by saying, acorn, acorn, acorn. Those are black people, and they're registering voters. There must be something wrong.
McCain spoke before him 2 years ago, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so why? Well, what's the deal with that non-story there, you know? I'd like to see Sean Hannity talk about that.
Oh, he doesn't let facts get in the way.
Yeah.
Dave, thanks a lot for your call.
I love your show, so happy trail to us all.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
God bless us all.
Dave in North Bend. Great to hear from you. We're going to take a break and return. And I know, Herbie, if you're still there, you're going to be next. In the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5-PETER-B.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. In Santa Cruz, we have a traffic collision on Bear Creek Road just east of Highway 9. An ambulance is responding and CHP is on the way. Taking a look at the Hollister-Gilroy area, we have a traffic collision on Columbet Avenue at Church Avenue. CHP is on the way there, too. Your forecast for this afternoon is beautiful and sunny. Tonight is clear with lows in the mid-50s, east winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunset tonight is at 6:29 and moonrise is at 7:34. And that's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a safe commute and a great evening. The Peter B. Collins Show is next.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain in your body. With six professionals, Cornerstone offers hormone balancing for men and women, all natural, no side effects. With our bodies filled with toxins and aches and pains, this approach works. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic neck pain for years. Trina Hammack uses a technique called quantum biofeedback, which to me is a miracle. I feel better and better each day, physically and mentally. Cornerstone offers lymphatic drainage, infrared saunas, ionic foot baths, massage, estheticians, and body strengthening specifically for your body so you'll start living pain-free naturally. Tired of taking medicine? Homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils are used. Finally, an alternative that works. Cornerstone Wellness Center, 1088 Cass Street, Monterey. Call today, 373-6204, 373-6204, or go to cornerstonewellnesscenter.com.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Rocking into the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Detroit today. I'll be off tomorrow. Stephanie Hendricks will be sitting in right here behind the microphone. She has a great show lined up for you. And as usual, she'll include Robert Parry from ConsortiumNews.com and Brad from BradBlog.com. That's Brad Friedman. So you'll be hearing election protection tomorrow at this time here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Two quick items and more of your phone calls. Number one, Rick Santorum, the knuckle-dragging former Republican senator from Pennsylvania, went on television to tweak Barack Obama because, according to Santorum, he refuses to wear an American flag lapel pin. Now, this is specious, jingoistic crap. But if you go to thinkprogress.org, you can see screenshots of John McCain and Barack Obama at the three presidential debates. Guess which candidate wore the flag pin all three times. One did. One didn't. And frankly, I'm sad that Obama wore it all three times, but hey, Rick Santorum shouldn't be shooting at a target that has been removed. And also, Don Siegelman, the former governor of Alabama, a Democrat who was railroaded into federal prison by Karl Rove and his cronies, sent out a thank you email. 42,000 people, including listeners to this program, emailed Congress demanding that they hold Karl Rove accountable and hold him in contempt. Congress adjourned without doing so, and it's unlikely to happen if there is a lame duck session after the election. But we need to keep this fight alive and let our Democratic representatives know that we want accountability. We don't want to just turn the page and leave all the lawbreaking of the Bush administration behind. And if we unravel the case of Don Siegelman, we'll learn more about stolen elections and about the politicization of the Justice Department and its U.S. attorneys. Spike in Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania, first-time caller to the program. Hello, Spike.
Gonzo Greens. I've called in the past. I know I've called when Patrick was filling in as well.
Oh, okay. Well, nice to hear from you.
Yeah, one of the more distant online listeners, and you're actually closer to me tonight, no less.
That's right. And I just happened to mention your former senator, Rick Santorum. What a great American.
Oh, thank God he's gone. It's a shame he got reelected so many times. But from seeing the support Sarah Palin's drawing out in this area when she comes here to speak, I guess now we know who his base was.
Yeah.
Because if anyone's seen on the Internet all these videos, it's very shameful, just the amount of just pure racism and total ignorance.
Wait a minute, Spike. John McCain is proud of every person who's come to his rallies.
Well, you know, Al Jazeera, you know, our media, of course, missed this. Al Jazeera just recently came out with a video, and one of the supporters at the rally in Ohio said about how Obama's can only be a second-tier, second-string candidate because he's a Negro.
Mm.
Which made me, for a minute, think maybe I just flash back to the 30s here.
Yeah.
No, sadly it was true. Another woman claimed that Barack and Michelle Obama belonged to an anti-white people group, which is interesting. I guess that means Barack would hate half of himself. they're so racist, and, you know, a bunch of them just screaming just crazy things at people. And it started out just local activists were catching us on tape, and now even Al Jazeera's picked up on it. And, I mean, I think in a way, like, the mainstream media is kind of giving a free pass to this going on because it would make McCain look worse. And
Obama needed to hit back harder and slam McCain for the mob mentality that he has created.
Yeah, It's more like a white supremacist rally starting the week. The worst was also the guy at the Curious George with the Obama sticker on the head of the Curious George stuffed animal when he was calling it Little Hussein.
Mm.
Tasteful.
These people are just really tasteful. Hey, Spike, thanks for the call. I got to jump to another one before I run out of time here. It's Joseph in Monterey listening on KRXA. Hi, Joseph.
Patrick from Monterey.
All right, I got Patrick. Go right ahead, Patrick.
Well, just to kind of echo what you were saying earlier, I mean, this is the Republicans have basically transformed the election into a wet work black op. I don't know why the Obama campaign and the Democrat, the DNC, isn't encouraging people in the 34 states that allow early voting to go vote now. I wonder why they're not, like, getting on top of that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
You know, I've been joking with people that if you get the crazy old white guy in the White House, I'm not leaving the country, I'm leaving the planet. Sign up for space colonization. I'm going to get a hold of Richard Branson, Virgin Airlines, and say, hey, when's that space shuttle trip starting? Get me on a planet with no Republicans, please. My family and friends who are Republican can visit with permission as long as they give me 6 months' notice. But, you know, I'm out of here. Get me out of here. I'm gone. You know, seriously, guys, this is the Fourth Reich.
Patrick, you need to send an email to Bill Maher's writers. On his Friday show on HBO, he's been doing a weekly segment about places to go if McCain gets elected. And yours is the topper. He's done Canada, Mexico, and a few exotic locations. But space, that's the ultimate, man.
Yeah, space colonization. Sign me up.
All right.
All right, thanks, Peter.
Thank you for your call. And let's find out if Joseph is still there or not. We're checking. Joseph, are you there?
Joseph is here.
Good, Joseph. I got about 30 seconds. Give us your comment.
Okay. I'm just curious. You know, I know that a lot has been made of it, but I watched the documentary on the 2004 election in Ohio, and having grown up in Ohio, I'm wondering how come no one is making a bigger issue of how they basically disenfranchised all those voters. And I see that as a pattern that's taking hold all over the country right now. You don't hear about it in the mainstream media, but, you know, if we don't allow people the right to vote, mm-hmm. we're no better than a banana republic.
And Joseph, thank you for a very prescient comment, and I encourage you to tune in again tomorrow at this very time when Brad Friedman will be here talking about election protection. It's something we cover every week because, well, it's necessary. I want to thank all the folks here in Detroit, Rona Danziger and Jeff here at WDTW, Nick Tanum and Katrina Rill back in San Francisco. I'm off tomorrow. Stephanie Hendricks will be sitting in. I'll talk to you soon here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Another wild day on Wall Street. The Dow had a swing of nearly 800 points, but finally ended 401 points higher at 8979. Market veteran Marilyn Cohen of Envision Capital Management says it's not a civilized place anymore.
If you feel safer sitting in CDs and bank deposits than riding, you know, down 600 one day and up 400 the next, stay on the sidelines and wait until there is a trend.
The trend in oil prices is clear. They're going down fast. A $5 drop today brought crude below $70 a barrel, a 14-month low.
Supply worries, which were paramount pretty much from 2002 till about July of 2008, have been replaced by worries about demand. And that's a real shift.
Analyst Tom Klose says traders expect the slowing economy to cut oil consumption dramatically around the world. Social Security recipients will be getting the largest benefit increase in more than a quarter century. This year's inflation rate translates into a cost of living adjustment of 5.8%. That's about $63 a month for the typical retiree. Ruth Weston of Sunrise, Florida will take what she can get.
It'll help a little, but, you know, our food costs at the market are really, really very, very high.
The Senior Citizens League says Americans 65 and over have lost 51% of their buying power since 2000. The presidential campaign has taken a harsh new tone. Voters in Virginia, Wisconsin, Nevada, and other targeted states have started receiving this recorded message.
I'm calling for John McCain and the RNC because you need to know that Barack Obama has worked closely with domestic terrorist Bill Ayers, whose organization bombed the U.S. Capitol, the Pentagon, a judge's home, and killed Americans. And Democrats will enact an extreme leftist agenda if they take control of Washington.
The robocalls are paid for by the McCain-Palin campaign and the Republican National Committee. Obama insists his past association with Ayers was never close and notes that the bombing attacks occurred in the 1960s when he was 8 years old.
In the closing weeks, John McCain thinks he can make this campaign all about me. But the truth is, this campaign's about you. It's about your jobs. It's about your health care, your retirement, your children's future. That's what this election's about.